Spectacular 264 Community Collaboration for September 30th, 2011.
Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular episode 264. I am your host, Dust Storm, and we have three wonderful community leaders here with us today. Again, Greg decided not to show up, so until he gets back, we will constantly make fun of him for it. But in the meantime, I have Goose Cheka from Griffball Hub. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I guess this is actually your first official time on the podcast, because the last time you were on was actually for the second decade show.
Yeah, and then the time before that, it was the Halo Fest special.
Yes. So this is your first actual podcast episode that you're on.
Awesome.
So welcome to the regular rotation.
Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Also from the Waypoint forums, we have Rue Kizzle.
Hola.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Can't complain. It's a cloudy day, but what's new?
I'm still pissed at you for beating me on the Prisoner remake.
Over and over. Hey, do you guys want to play again? I'm like, only if he's not.
It was only
to
by
to
two kills, too. But we'll get into that a little bit later. And we also have Puptastrophe H2 something. What is it?
H2O Camper.
H2O Camper from Griffball Hub.
How's it going?
Who I've been told has a sexy announcer voice.
That's not true.
Well, YouTube seems to think differently.
Yeah, why don't you let us hear it for ourselves?
Yeah, you have a sample for us that you can give?
You can probably find it on YouTube.
Aw, he's podcast shy.
You can talk to his agent.
Wait, isn't that you?
Yes.
Pretty much.
So how about it? Do we get a snippet?
Pup is actually my boss, so it's a very interesting relationship to be his agent. So if he says some other time, then we'll roll with that.
That's an interesting hierarchy.
Well,
not sure how that would work in the corporate world, but I guess if it works in the virtual world, it all's well that ends well.
Hey, you know what? Whenever something happens, we just shake it out on the Griffball court.
And you guys and your hammers and your swords.
Oh, that's why Puppy's the boss.
Does he have like this golden gravity hammer just sitting in his office or something?
All I can say is his hammer is bigger than mine. That's all I know.
Alrighty then. Well, welcome to the podcast, everyone. This week we are going to talk about community involvement in Halo and how different communities have kind of sprung up. So we'll go into a little bit of Podtech history, Griffball history, Waypoint history, all that good stuff, kind of focusing on how communities have evolved around such a fantastic game that we all know and love, Halo. So we'll go ahead and start with the majority representation here, which would be Griffball Hub. So, Goose, we'll go ahead and start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into Halo, what that first sparkling moment was, and go from there.
All right. Well, my name is Goose Cheka, and as Deathstorm said, I am from GriffballHub.com. I first started playing Halo with Combat Evolved. I was in college at the time, and it was a playoff game for the Yankees versus the Red Sox, and the Red Sox had come back from the end of the series and had swept the Yankees, and it was.
Oh, I remember this game.
Yeah, it was apparently I hate baseball, so apparently it was a really big deal. And going to school in D.C., there's a ton of Red Sox fans, so the campus started to like riot, and you know everybody was like running out of the dorms or whatever. And I'm just kind of standing around there, and this one guy comes up to me. He goes, "Who did you cheer for?" And I'm like, "I don't know, the Yankees." He's like, "Excellent." He physically picks me up, throws me over his shoulder, and runs me into his dorm room. And in there are two other guys, and they've got the Xbox set up. And they're like, "Well, we need a fourth for Halo." And I'm like, "What's Halo?" I have no idea. They're like, "Oh, it's a game on the Xbox." I'm like, "What's an Xbox?" So I was very new.
You can already tell that this is starting out to be a great story.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, "Okay, sure. I played Sonic. How much different can it be?" And it's very different. Very, very different. And so we were just playing custom games, and it was the four of us. We were on Prisoner, and I believe it was Shoddy's on Prisoner. And I was just walking around staring at the ceiling because I couldn't figure out how to walk. And they just slaughtered me. Like, I was like negative 30 something. It was horrible, but I had so much fun doing it that I kept coming back. It was even to the point where one of the guys who lived in that room had a very particular cologne. So I would actually walk by their room when the door was closed and smell for his cologne to see if they were awake. And if they were awake, I would knock on the door so they would let me come in and play Halo.
Like the Pavlov's dog of Halo.
Yeah, pretty much. What was really funny is that it was kind of a joke on our dorm floor how into Halo I was. And you remember on like Halo 2, that opening guitar riff, you know, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. They called it the goose call. And one day they open up, because I didn't have an Xbox in my room, but they had one in theirs. And so they opened the door and they turned the Xbox on. They turned the volume up. So you hear the Halo 2 intro. And all of a sudden they had like a stopwatch out. And within 15 seconds, I had bolted out of my room, down the hallway, and I was in their room and had a controller in my hand. I was ready to go. Wow. That is how I came to love Halo.
Wow. I think that's probably the most interesting Halo story I've ever heard, to be honest.
You know, now I'm trying to make up lies so I can have a good one.
Oh, and it's been love ever since. So,
awesome.
And now that I have my own Xbox, I don't have to run down the hallway or smell for cologne or right. Listen for the goose call.
Right. That is interesting.
Interesting is a nice way of putting it. Thank you.
Of course. Okay, Rukizel, how about you? How'd you get started with Halo?
I'm trying to think. I was back in high school when the Xbox first came out, and when Halo first came out, I had no idea what it was. Being what would someone call like a little bit of a sports buff, I primarily played sports games. That and, God, at the time, what were we playing? We played a lot of Tony Hawk and GoldenEye at the Boys and Girls Club where we were at. Luckily, being right down the street from Microsoft, well, a couple of miles away, we had partnerships at all the Boys and Girls Clubs throughout the county, so they donated an Xbox, and along with it came a copy of NFL, Inside Drive, Halo, and some other game I don't even remember, but one of my buddies saw the packaging and was like, oh, Halo, you guys, you ever play this? I was like, no, you know, haven't really heard of it. What's it about? We had to sneak. We weren't allowed to play gun games. Even though we were all, you know, in high school, we had our little teen area. We couldn't play anything where you could shoot people. So we would hide the disc and start to play. And I remember our first match was on Chiron. Or is that how you say it? Yeah.
Chiron, yeah.
And we ran through like chickens with our heads cut off trying to figure out what in the hell to do. And I remember I just got my ass handed to me. Like,
that's probably the worst map to be introduced to Halo on is Chiron.
Yeah, and what made it worse is the first time I played it is with one of my buddies who actually, you know, I mean, he's pretty good at that first game, and I had no idea what I was doing. I managed to sneak in a few kills, but you would think, oh, okay, you just lost by 22 kills. Are you done? Like, no, it was a great experience. And then we would start to do, we had times where we did sleepovers for the younger kids and things like that, and all the teens would stay up. And then as soon as everybody else went to sleep, Halo came out, and there'd be I had an Xbox and a copy of Halo and four controllers. Cause you know, back then in the neighborhood, you had to go to whoever had the biggest TV. Like that's the house that everyone played the video games at. So that was my house. So I made sure I had my four controllers. So I would bring them down to the Boys and Girls Club. We had the Boys and Girls Club copy, and there'd be eight of us there for hours on end from like 1 to 9 a.m. We never slept, but it just turned into, you know, little mini LAN parties just week in and week out. It got to the point where, towards the end of my high school career, so right before Halo 2 came out, 2004, we were at the Boys and Girls Club every night till about 3 or 4 a.m. Not doing anything bad, but we snuck in that building just to play Halo. Like, it was the greatest thing in the world, but that's kind of where it evolved from there. And then obviously, I could go on, but the story would last for days.
Right.
But that's pretty much the gist of it.
So sneaking in Halo.
Yeah, that's, whenever you could.
That's interesting. Alrighty. How about you, Pup?
Well, for me, it was kind of like Rukizel. I was more into the sports games and all that kind of thing. And I had a cousin who one day decided to, because at one point I still had the original Xbox when the 360 came out. I just didn't feel like I needed to get the 360 at the time. But my cousin brings over his 360, and he's got a copy of I think it was Halo 2. He brought with him, and you know he's like, "You got to try this." I'm like, "No, I hate games like that. I like sports games." He's like, "Come on." I'm like, "All right." So I let him put it in, and we start playing some SWAT. And like Goose, I mean, I was freaking terrible. I was, you know, I'm looking up at the ceiling, and you know, and I'm walking the wrong direction, and you know, the team's going one way, I'm going the other way, but you know, so we played a few games, and I just told him like I hate it, you know. But he's like, "Well, I'm just gonna leave the Xbox here, you know, I'm gonna let you try it for a little while." And so, you know, I was like, "All right, you can." I said I probably won't play it, but you know, after he leaves, you know, it's like, yeah. I don't think I'm going to play that again. So I got going and put it in. And, you know, I started getting really addicted to it. And he had an Xbox Live account at the time. So I was logging on his account and I was playing it, and I was getting hooked with I was getting really hooked with the SWAT. And I don't know. It just kind of took me from there. And then it wasn't really until when Halo 3 came out, though, that I mean, then I was just really hooked with it, because I ran into the Griff Ball in the first double XP thing they did, and it's like, my God, you know, I suck with guns, but this thing with hammers is easy. I'm like, suddenly I'm getting all these crazy medals I never gotten before, and I'm like, hey, I kind of like this. And you know, I was just really into it after that. You know, and I don't think I've gone back to a sports game since. Honestly, it's just been Halo for the most part,
except the sports with hammers and a bomb.
Yeah, well, you know, it's about the only sport you need now.
Amen.
Ash mash.
Yeah, I like the hammer.
I mean, no other weapon has such a satisfying sound, other than maybe the sword. Like, yeah. You know, shooting a pistol, you know, pew, 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 or, you know, demon arm. No. But whoom, you know, just, ooh, shivers.
The up close and personal aspect, huh?
Yes. I mean, the hammer makes me feel.
It's just like no other, you know, weapon that you could like get into someone's spawn and just like wipe them out for Killionaire and in a matter of seconds.
So. Yeah. All right. So give us a little bit of history on how Griffball Hub got started and kind of how it's kept going throughout the recent years. Because I mean, we all know where Griffball came from. It was a reference to something that was made from Sarge in season 4 of Red versus Blue, I think episode 86 or something.
59, hunting season.
Was it what that early? Really?
Yep, I just did a presentation on it, so I'm ready.
Wow, okay. Well, go for it then. The floor is yours. Give us how Griffball Hub gets started. What you guys do now, how you're involved with the larger Halo communities, et cetera, et cetera.
All right, well, how it got started, that's all Puff.
Oh, yeah, well.
Well, either one of you, the stage is open.
Well, yeah, the thing is, before I even started Griffball Hub, you know, like I said, I got really hooked on it. So I you know, after playing Griffball the first time, I somehow learned that it came from Rooster Teeth, so I went to the Rooster Teeth site and I discovered that they've got this league. I'm like, oh wow! So I find this thread in their forums and like saying that, you know, post here if you're looking for a team. So I post, you know, I'm looking for a team, and this guy named Dragon of Exile replies to me and he says, hey, come try out for my team. And you know, I end up joining his team, and you know, after probably a few months or so of getting to know him. Not even a few months. It was maybe a month and a half to 2 months at the most. For some reason, I just came up with this thought that I wanted to have a domain, where we could have our own little forum for our team to chat and whatnot. And I just came up with this idea of Griffball Hub. And, so for the longest time, probably almost a year, maybe half a year to a year or so, we kind of had this forum to ourselves, and we kind of go in there and use it as a place to kind of like make fun of each other for the most part. And we'd have a few other teams that would come in there, and they'd have their own little forum too. But for the most part, it was just we really didn't do much with the domain. It was just kind of there. And And one day Dragon sends me this message. He's like, hey, I got this idea. I want to do like this weekly kind of magazine thing, like reporting on news on and Griffball and stuff. And it was a project that someone else had done, and it kind of like, I guess they kind of dropped the ball with it. It just didn't go so well, but he wanted to try and do it again. And I said to him, well, you know, I said, we've got this great domain name that we've been using for our dumb little forum for a while now. I said, give me a little bit. Let me mess around and see what I can come up with. And, so I went and I just put together the site, and I was like, well, here, let's do this. You know, it was a really basic design, but I said, you know, we've got now where you can post, you don't have to do it weekly. You can post every day if you want to. And it's like a blog. You know, post whenever you want. You can post your news and whatnot. And so we started there, and it was just really simple. But, you know, every now and then we'd post news on different league things that were happening. And eventually we got to the point where we started accepting submissions from the community, and that's where Goose came in. Once Goose came in, I think the hub, like, really started to really take off, because she was very dedicated to it, and she just sent me a lot of crap to put up. It was like suddenly we had a lot of really good content to put up instead of just every now and then. And then eventually I was just like, hey, you got to come join us.
Yeah, but, it was.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it was, like I said, it just started from something very simple. And then, you know, once we started getting the community more involved, then it grew, it just started growing more. But, you know, Goose could probably tell you her side of it from once she got invited to join us.
Yeah, I really just started out. I was really good friends with Green Team Tex, who was on the staff at that time, and they were doing something called the American Griffball Cup, which was this really awesome, awesome idea to take all the griffballers in the league, divide them by geographical location, and have them play each other. So which region would be supreme? And it was a fiasco, and we don't really talk about it anymore. But I had volunteered to help, and so that's kind of how I found out about the hub. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, well, here, let me write this quick article about the Griffball Cup. Okay, well, playoffs are coming, so I'm going to write up an article about that. And then, you know, it started out with like one article a week, and then it was like two articles a week, and then I was sending Puppy like five articles a week, saying, hey, here, take this. And I'm sure it was, you know, annoying at first, but I think he saw the light. And, yeah. He was like, hey, you should, like, you know, join us and, you know,
one of us
have access to the super secret, you know, mod thread. And because that was like the cool thing at the time. That's how you knew.
That still is the cool thing. I don't know if you know.
I do now. And so basically just from there, I joined up in the summer of 2009. Yeah, around I think like April, May 2009. And yes. It's been us pretty much the same core of people ever since.
All right. So, but Griffball Hub is kind of open to multiple teams, right?
You said open to multiple teams?
Like there's multiple teams that are at Griffball Hub, or is it just kind of one team?
Oh, no.
Well, we have a league, so we have quite a lot of teams that are...
So is your Griffball, is Griffball Hub separate from AGLA?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. We can clarify that real quick. There's the
American just for Griffball our League. Listeners that
yeah, there's the American Griffball League of America, which is based off of Griffball.com, which is a subset of Rooster Teeth, and that was the first site. And then a little while later, Griffball Hub has existed, but probably about a year and a half ago, we created the GGL, which is the Good Games League, which is the Griffball Hub run league. People wanted to be able to play Griffball year-round. I mean, and keep in mind, this was back in Halo 3, when the only time you could play Griffball was one week in a month. So people wanted to be able to play League Ball all year-round, so we introduced the GGL to play in the AGLA off-season so that people could always be playing Griffball. So yeah, they are two separate leagues, two separate entities.
All right. So what is there any other kind of distinction between Griffball Hub and AGLA, or is it pretty much that's it?
There's some pretty big differences. The AGLA prides themselves on being the competitive league, and they really hang their hat on that. And that's pretty much all they do. They've got Griffball.com, and they run the league, and that's pretty much it. Very super serious. Griffball Hub, we're more of a recreational league. We're much more laid back. It's more about having fun. than anything else. And then in addition to the league, because that's something that we added in. You know, originally we just posted articles, and then we started doing interviews, and then now we have a podcast, and Pupped has an amazing highlight frenzy every month. And we've got tips and tricks videos, and we have a resource collection, and we have a racing league, and we have a bunch of forum activities like, you know, caption contests and just silly things that go on. And so it's really just a different kind of community, because we're a .com. It started out as a Griffball league, and that's what it still is. The hub started out as like a Griffball resource center, and then we've really grown from that to incorporate a lot of different things.
All right. So from the standpoint of, I guess, events, do you just do regular game nights, or are there like certain seasons that you have where you do tourneys? Kind of give us the layout of how you do games over there.
Pop?
So like, yeah.
Well, I mean,
seasons, whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, we typically have, you know.
Give us the rundown.
We typically have like a spring, a summer, fall, and a winter league, and they kind of run in the off seasons of the AGLA, because we don't like to clash with their leagues, so you know, let them run theirs. So when theirs ends, ours kind of kicks off. And I'm trying to think of like how many teams did we, like our first season we did the GGL, it was like an invite thing because we just wanted to see how it was going to work. So I think six teams. Yeah, and then you know it was like, hey, that worked pretty well. So then we did our second season. I think we maybe,
I think we had,
I don't know,
16.
Yeah, and then it just kind of grew from there. But I mean, now we're at the point where we have any in a seat, like one of our seasons we had was somewhere like around 190 teams or something.
Wow.
182.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not just one night. I mean, we have games pretty much going on every night in a season. And, you know, there's people from all over the world that are playing. So And you have like, what, six teams in a division, and they play 10 games in a season. Then we have our playoffs and, you know, and a champion.
Yep. And then even in the off season, we run events called Griffball in Reach Neighborhood Tournaments, and we abbreviate them as Grunts. So they're basically one night little mini tournaments that people play. And those are just kind of scheduled. There's no set date or anything. We just kind of throw them in there as we like. And other things like the racing league, that has seasons, and Riley Fox, who's in charge of that, just finished that up, and it was a 5-week racing season. And we have a monthly poker night, which we just pick a night during the month and we're free, and we just have everybody pile into Full House Poker and play. I mean, it's all about the community. It really is. You know, even if you're not the most hardcore hammerhead Griffballer out there, there's still so much to do at Griffball Hub that's not Griffball centric.
All right.
I tried the racing thing, and I realized that I'm really bad at it. I think I came in last in my first race.
So tell us a little bit about the racing side of it, because that's kind of an interesting combination of having Griffball and then racing.
I mean,
I wish Riley were here to talk more about it. But
we have one member on the staff named Riley Fox, and if you couldn't tell, you know, Riley as in like racing rallies.
Right.
He's really into racing, and, you know, the hub has a pretty large community. I think we're up to
getting close to 1,800 forum users now.
Yeah. So, and, you know, there's about 20 people who are like, hey, I really like racing too. So they just put together a little racing league where they get together on Wednesday nights and they race for 2 hours, and they have this really cool system of keeping track of, you know, times and scores and places, and they figure out who has the best time for the night and who has the best time for the season and it's a regular racing league, and it's only the Griffball Racing League because it's on Griffball Hub. Like we don't have hammers or anything like that. It's actual mongoose racing.
Well, that would be pretty awesome though.
Yeah.
it'd be interesting if it was like a double dash or something where you have a hammer on the back that you could propel.
Oh my God, that would be great.
We'll have to look into that. That could be interesting.
It's kind of like what I used to do with, in Halo 3, when you'd have like the rocket race, and you'd get what was that? Was that gun that you'd always have? It was a rocket launch, and then there was also another thing.
Oh, the brute shot.
Yeah, and you could just freaking propel yourself all the way across the map.
Yeah,
that thing was awesome.
Yeah, that's kind of stunt tricking right there, I guess.
I called it button mashing, but I like stunt tricking much better.
Button mashing is launching your mongoose across the map.
Yeah, when you're getting shot, I'm like, holy shit, I'm getting shot. And then things would happen. Buttons would get mashed and usually end up in my death, but you never know.
I don't know. It seems like there's a little bit of strategery in there.
Sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, I just always loved when we'd launch ourselves and I'd just like randomly fire the sniper or something and accidentally hit somebody and kill them. I'm like, oh, yes, I meant to do that.
All skill.
So for your seasons, do you have like prizes or just kind of like first place, second place, kind of the recognition thing? Like
it actually varies by season. We never ever promise prizes for our winners because it is a recreational league. And apparently on the internet, when you offer prizes, people get really super serious about it. like scary serious about it. So we don't ever promise them. I mean, in the past, we've done like interviews and we've given the team a highlight reel. Some of those highlight reels have gone up on Waypoint. This year, Cal made a really cool poster, like a collage poster, and we had poster-sized images of it printed out and sent to the winners. In the past, we've also given out like hammer codes or avatar codes or, you know, map pack codes. So it varies by season. But yeah, we really want it to be about fun, and you're playing because you want to, not because you think you're going to get some kind of prize.
Yeah, it is really quite ridiculous how people get when they know there's prizes on the line. I mean, there's all kinds of cheating and shenanigans going on, and yeah.
I mean, it can be something really, really simple, like a coal plushie code, and people like freak out about. I'm like, whoa. This is like a 1-year-old code, people. This is not a big, but no, you offer prizes and it's like piranhas. You're baiting the water.
Yep.
On that note, we love our community, every single one of you.
So tell us a little bit about your podcast, since you also do one, which I didn't know about actually, except for like 2 weeks before Halo Fest came around. So tell us a little bit about that and what you talk about on your show.
Well, we talk about Griffball. We talk about Griffball a lot. So if you're ever curious as to what's going on in the leagues or the updates that are coming or anything like that, we talk about that quite a bit. Sometimes some actual gaming news leaks in there. We try to avoid that. But no, it's Tex. He's in charge of it. Green Team Tex. He's the host. And then it's usually myself and Cal. And Nuclear Taco 42, who is in charge of all of the map making and that kind of stuff on the hub.
He's definitely the chattiest one.
Oh, yes. Usually you can count how many words he says on one hand. But what he says is very, it's punchy, you know, it has oomph.
Yes. It's always like the 6 most important words of the podcast. So.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Or something like that. But, you know, we record live every Thursday night, and the podcast gets posted every Friday. And they're usually about an hour long. And, I mean, honestly, most of it is about Griffball. Sometimes there's some downtime, and that's usually when we'll talk about other games. But we are gamers, and we do talk about other stuff. But I can imagine it would be tough for someone who's not familiar with the leagues to sit through parts of it, because we get very nitty-gritty, detail-oriented on,
right,
like, KD ratio and betrayals and a lot of technical stuff like that. But generally, I think I would think anybody would be able to listen to it and enjoy it.
I've enjoyed it. I'll say that much.
Oh, good. Yay. That's exciting.
Let's see. I think we're going to go ahead and move on to Rekizzle, who mainly comes from the Waypoint forums. Are you associated with any other community, or is that basically your homeland right there?
I'm what you would call a professional lurker, meaning everybody else's site plenty of times just to kind of see what's going on. Like, I've been through HBO, I want to say 10 to 15 times a week, but I think my total post count there is 4. You know, I've
mine's 2.
Yeah. So I've browsed tons of places, but the one place you will actually hear me talk and interact is definitely at the Waypoint forums. No particular reason. I just, right. I don't know. I don't know what grabbed me. It must have been the Halo, but there's so many different Halo communities. Something about it.
Right.
It just ended up sticking around.
What's funny is that I hear more from you about the Waypoint forums on your Twitter than I actually do in the forums.
My Twitter is where I can say anything that I want to. My Twitter is my own. The Waypoint, it's a great place, but there's a certain interaction level that you want to have in a forum. Just even in the beginning, before I became a moderator, before I was a community leader, there was just a certain kindness or a politeness factor that went into every post. Just constructive criticisms, arguments, things like that. You just kept them at a certain tone so people didn't think you were getting mad.
Right.
Twitter, on the other hand, hey, the first thing they ask you is, what's on your mind? I'm going to tell you exactly how it is. So if you ever want to know what's going on in the Waypoint forum, see my Twitter? Oh, yeah, I'll tell you all about it.
Yeah, I find the threads to look at by looking at your tweets.
Yeah.
So that, I feel like the threads, they move so fast I can't possibly keep up, but I know that you're there for me and you will point me at the very important threads that I should be looking at.
Well, then there's like spans during the day where you'll see like 20 Twitter posts in a matter of like 30 minutes or something.
Yep.
Remember, because I'm like, what is he doing?
Well, it's okay. So my job is fairly simple. I sell mattresses in real life. Not many people come in on any given day to check out a mattress. So I literally have my computer in front of me. And there are times where, you know, I don't see people for an hour at a time. So it's very easy for me to keep up on the forums, read through everything, post. And Twitter's that one outlet where I can, you know, just interact with people, talk to people. And yeah, you'll hear a lot about it, especially if I'm bored at work.
Right. Just kind of a little release there, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a release because, you know, there's certain things I can't say, like, you stupid kid, don't be an idiot. Like, or like somebody, oh, I got banned 5 times for saying or calling somebody an idiot and that they were retarded. Why is this? Because you call somebody an idiot and you said they were retarded. Like, it's not that hard. Quit being dumb. I can't say that to them. So what I get to do is put on my Twitter and be like, this fool's terribly misinformed, and send it out on the link, and everybody gets to come in and say something to him. The best is, you know, now that I learned how to take screenshots on my computer, I get to attach,
the
question.
Live the dream, dude.
Seriously. Yeah, you know, it's all in good fun. I don't, you know, judge these people personally, but stuff makes me laugh all the time.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do? No. I mean, there are times where I'm like, you know what? I really wish I could see what this person looks like in real life, because I don't think they'd talk this way to me if they were face to face. Like, I really don't.
Right. That's one of the weird things about forums, though, or the internet in general, is since you don't have that face to face interaction, there's a lot of
internet
etiquette is thrown out the window.
Well, yeah. What's really funny, and I know Pup can back me up on this one, is that some of the biggest trash talkers on our forums, you know, I've met them in real life at things like PAX. The bigger the trash talker, usually the scrawnier the person.
Absolutely.
Okay, good. It's not just me.
No, absolutely. I can believe that.
And do you guys also find that they don't say anything to you, like face to face? You know, I meet this really big trash talker, and I'm like, hi, I'm Goosechuck. And he's like, hi, I'm so-and-so. And then he doesn't speak for, like, the rest of the event. I'm like, what, you don't want to call me a bleep 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 to my face? You don't want to tell me to make you a sandwich while I'm right here in front of you? No? Okay. All right.
You know what?
Can you make a sandwich?
There was that one kid who said he was going to slap you when he saw you in person.
Yes.
That didn't turn out to what you thought it would.
There was one guy who said he was going to slap me for making Griffball Hub popular. He was going to slap me at PAX East, and I was like, bring it.
Yeah, I'd just show up, stick out my chin, and be like, I'm waiting. I wish you would.
So I definitely find that to be an interesting trend.
But you know what? I haven't met any of the forum trolls yet. Like, I wish I could. I really want to. I'm hoping.
You wish to put a face to that person that you're ridiculing on Twitter?
Exactly. That too. You know, because it's a different thing. I'm not humongous, but, you know, being 6'2", well, 6'4", yeah, with shoes and...
I'm going to say, I've met you. You're tall.
You're tall. Yeah, you are tall. You didn't beat me at Halo, but you're taller.
I beat you on one game.
Oh, it must have been a team game.
Yeah. No, it was FFA on the Battle Creek remake.
Oh, okay.
I remember that one distinctly.
Yeah.
He can remember it because that's the only one time it's happened.
Well, it was funny. We were sitting next to each other, and then I started to realize, I was like, wait, you're so-and-so, huh? He's like, yeah, you're this person. So there was a certain level of like the adrenaline would kick up whenever I see that name flash. I was like, I gotta kill him. And sure enough, I'd kill him. And then like the little Jim Halpert smile comes across my face without making eye contact.
And I just look over to him like, you son of a bitch. And I would go after to try to get revenge. And he just like smacked me down. I'm like, what the hell?
Oh,
it was great though. We had, what, two or three games back to back?
Yeah. God, nobody in line. It made it so easy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We have to do that again sometime, though.
Oh, we definitely will.
Rematch when the maps come out, right?
That's fine. You know what? Rumble Pit is my game. Don't get me wrong. I do pretty well in Team Slayer and things like that. But I don't know. Something about not picking off people's kills and stealing their kills. Is
oh,
so
I love expensive. That.
That's really what it is.
You guys need to play SWAT with Puppy. I think you'll find a new definition of pain and misery.
I think I have before.
Oh no, I'm pretty decent at SWAT.
I do all right with SWAT, but then there's times where I'll just be horrible, just absolutely horrible, and I'll get frustrated beyond all belief.
Is it just me, right? Or does it seem like at times the DMR spray is just killing you? Like you're the center of the reticle will actually be on the person's head, but you're shooting all around him, and you'll empty six or seven shots, and none of them land on his head.
And then he pops once.
What? I feel like there's specific times where the game's like, nope, not gonna give it to you, nope. Try again, nope. So sorry.
Well, you know what my theory on that is, because that happens to me all the time. It doesn't matter what game I'm playing, if it has a gun, that happens to me. And I think Halo is sexist because I'm sure if a guy was shooting like I was, he would get the kill. I think it's sexist. That's always been my complaint, from Halo CE all the way to now.
I doubt it, but I'm not going to comment on it any further.
Smart man.
I'm not going to piss you off any further than I need to. Oh goodness. So, were you part of the Bungie forums before the 343 forums came along, or how did you get started?
I started, let me see. I can't remember why I first signed up with Bungie. This was before Halo 2 came out, so it was like May of 2004. May 24th, actually.
That's before there was a reason to sign up.
Yeah, and we were checking something out, and I was just getting involved with Xbox Live. And at the time, let me see, so I just turned 18. I turned 18. Somebody got me the Halo limited edition green console that had just came out.
Oh, nice.
So I was checking it out and checking out the preview, and, you know, it had the 9-minute clip from E3 2004 or from E3 2003 of Halo on there, of Halo 2. So just the excitement was rising, and I think that's why I first started to check out the Bungie forums, is because we needed, like the group of us that did our LAN parties all the time, we needed a home. We needed a group where we could talk amongst ourselves and trash talk and do all that stuff and post not necessarily scores and pictures, but just post event info. So we signed up on there. And really, the last 7 years have been some sporadic posting, a lot of reading, a lot of checking stuff out. But it's gotten tougher over the years. I'm sure everyone would agree. I would jump in for like when ODST came out. I was definitely a part of the ODST forums for a couple of weeks. But then there's a point where, you know, there's going to be some asshole that decides to post something of a spoiler. And I was like, I don't want to do it. So I would go dark for a couple of months at a time. But, yeah, I was around Bungie the entire time, and then Waypoint came along. And I remember I heard, I was like, oh, there's forums, cool. I signed up day one, but I probably didn't make my first post. I made a post that day, and then not another one till like, November, so, like, 3 months later. But it's just evolved from there. So, I was definitely a part of Bungie before, but that had no – there was no reason for me to sign up for Waypoint or Bungie. I just kind of did it just because I liked the way it looked. It was interesting, to say the least.
So, I'm guessing you never kind of got, or did you get really popular on the Bungie forums and then that kind of transitioned over to Waypoint? Or
not at all. Not at all. I don't think I could post anywhere in the Bungie forums today and have someone recognize me. The only time it happened is PAX 2009. There's a whole long story. Between the ODST truck, I went to the first two cities, sat in line for hours on end just so I could be first, like I do. So I went to Seattle, or it was in Redmond, then it wasn't Portland. It was a city right outside of Portland, but it's just a 3-hour drive for me. So I checked out those two. I go to PAX knowing how to play Firefight, right? It was completely unfair. I knew where all the weapons were on Crater. Like, so I was like, oh, let's play Crater. I jumped through there, and there's a picture of it on Bungie.net still. Somehow I ended up setting a score of like 48,000 points. The nearest people on my team had like 6,000. So Irk and Brian come over, and they're talking amongst themselves, take a picture, and that ended up turning into an interview that was included in the Bungie Weekly update from like September 11th, 2009. So then I'd post in a couple of little forums, and they'd be like, oh, you're that guy. Like, you're Rakitis. I'm like, oh, yeah, but that's the most it's ever been. If I went and posted in there now, no one would know who I am, which is fine.
So
crazy messages.
So, I mean, pretty much now you're, since you're a mod on the Waypoint forum, you're pretty much popular now for people that keep up to date, I guess. What kind of entails your mod duties in the Waypoint forums? Because I know each different place is a little different. So how does being a mod on the Waypoint forums different from other places, other than the trash talking and crappy grammar that you probably have to put up with?
You know what? I can the grammar I can deal with, even though it frustrates me on a personal level, but still, it's really just keeping it fun and interactive for everyone. You know, we don't want anybody to feel singled out. We don't want anybody to be scared to post or anything like that. We're just trying to have it be as welcome of a community as it can be. And that's really the ultimate goal. People are going to come to those forums just because it is 343 site. It can go back to what Goose was saying about it being with a partnered with a huge company. So there's going to be people in there all the time. That's not an issue. We're there simply to keep things clean. And it's definitely an interesting task, but it's not too bad.
It's a monumental task.
You know,
I was going to say, I think it's pretty big to sing. Well, I mean, I heard at one point the Bungie forums were kind of bad in some areas.
At one point?
Oh, like right now?
They were really, really bad. As in, everywhere was kind of infected, but now it's like only certain areas.
That's true.
Oh, and I just got an email from BS Angel, and I told her that we were recording, and she says that it sounds like trouble that we're recording together.
We're nothing but perfect little angels. Get it? Because it's
yes, I got it.
No, but the one nice part of it right now is I don't moderate the beta forums. We simply, the group that we have that's moderating the Gamma forums, all the old community leaders, we deal with 100 to 200 posts a day maximum right now. So there's kind of two groups that split off. There's the Gamma forum users, and then there's the beta forum users. The beta is kind of an interesting place because there is more of that argumentative style, and we're just getting our feet wet right now with the Gamma. So it's been live for what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks maybe? And so we've been playing in there, kind of testing our newfound powers out. But it'll be interesting to see what happens once everything is merged. So it hasn't been too monumental yet, but oh, that storm's coming.
So what you're saying is you don't have enough to do right now, because I can really change that for you if you'd like.
No.
You sure? Because I've got my button. Okay, let's see here. Click here to help test the Gamma. All right, what can I do?
Isn't there like a section for cats or something?
That's the interesting thing is everything right now is just a test. Nothing is going to be saved from those forums. So Jessica says, unless something changes. So, you know, she made a section called cats. And everybody jumped in, was like, oh, like there was some mixed reactions. At first it was like, oh, this is stupid. I can't believe there's only two sections, general discussion and cats. What if I want to talk about this? And I was like, no, you guys don't understand. This is just a test. We're just trying to see how everything works, see how you guys like it. Oh, cats is the new flood. So now the cat section has turned into an off topic and general discussion is just that. But it's funny when I post something in general that may be considered off topic. Like I posted, you know, with Halo CEA coming out, what games would you guys like to see remade? The one for me was like Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I love that series. I don't know why. The first four were great. I posted that and somebody's like, this really belongs in cats. And like, I wanted to be like, you're going to tell me this belongs in cats? And I'm like, why? Well, that's the dedicated off topic section. Or do you not know? I was like, all right, douchebag. I was like, geez, that's where there was a Twitter post about that one.
I was going to ask if that ever happens, because there's a couple times when I know Pup and I were either in matchmaking or we get a new team into the league and they start trying to tell us how to play Griffball.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
And sometimes it's really cute and sometimes it's really obnoxious.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that always strikes me as funny is I had one guy in a Griffball game I was playing. He's like, oh man, I got this. I'm really, really good. I'm like, oh, you're really good. Yeah, because I'm pretty bad. He's like, yeah, well, I've been playing since the start. I'm like, oh, you started playing back in 2007? He's like, no, Griffball's only been around since 2010. You know, basically since when Reach launched. And I'm like, actually, Griffball started in December of 2007 with the original 8 tournament. He's like, oh, well, you know, and I'm like, yeah, is there anything else you would like to brag about to me? And I shouldn't have done it. It wasn't proper, but it was really fun to smack him.
It sounded like he deserved it, though.
Yeah, yeah. He was definitely bragging about his Griffball creds, and I'm sitting here like, you don't even know.
I mean,
like,
there's a point, though, where if someone really deserves it, you don't hold back.
I rarely go out of my way to slap people like that, but he was on my nerves, and I decided, you know what? You think that Griffball started with Halo Reach. You need an education.
Yeah, I've run into people like that, and like I want to use an argument like, dude, I've played with Bernie, but then they'd probably just like, who's Bernie? So like, yeah. What's the point? You know, like I played with the guy who made Griffball, but you know, you don't know who he is, so it doesn't matter.
Don't you know you can never one up the one uppers?
No, something you can't.
back in my day, we played on one court, and we were great, and we had to share the hammer.
I would love to see you do some kind of mission like that.
Back in my day, Griffball series. Okay.
That would be freaking hilarious.
I'll get our machinimist on that. That's a pretty cool idea, actually.
Oh, boy. So, how did you become a mod for the Waypoint forums?
Did you just kind of. Originally. I don't know. I met Angel for the first time. Well, for the first time at one of the remember that Halo Reach preview event that had what was the guy's name? The little pro that was talking about Halo Reach at GameStop, and they're like, come in to check all this stuff out, and it was 20 minutes of video. So I met her there, and we had a brief discussion. And this is still when she was with Hottie McBloggy. And then the PAX happens. And so we go through PAX and we're talking about that. And we had some discussion about the forums. Nothing too crazy, though, because they were brand new. Everyone had been through them. Mm-hmm. And she ends up working for 343. And a couple months down the road, you know, she asked me, she's like, oh, you know, I have, you know, an opportunity to run by you. Let me know when you have some time. I was busy at the time going through like a move, a whole bunch of stuff. So I put it off for about a month. And then I started running through the forums and just posting in a generally positive manner. I'm trying to think. When it really took off, when I really started posting religiously, was right before the Defiant map pack came out. And then there was a thread in there in which, I want to say something like 100 or 150 codes were given out.
Uh-huh.
They came with an initial dump, and then people kept the thread going. And they were like, oh, well, maybe if we get the thread to 117 pages, you know, BS Angel will come down and give us some more code, which she did. And then they're like, wow, you know, 117. They're like, what's that next Halo related number? They're like, oh, 343. So we got to get up to 300. No, I kid you not. They really got up to 343 pages. I think I have to find it. I'm going to do that as I talk, but I think they got up to something like 600 pages. It was ridiculous. Half the people were, you know, hitting F5 on their keyboard. The other half were just posting. And they had probably one of the greatest conversations ever. But during that time, and like you guys were talking about, people complain whenever they get free shit. Like they don't like the way it's being done. Oh, I really think that you guys should have given out codes this way and done this instead. And luckily, I didn't have to go through all the jazz just because they handed some out at a preview event here in Seattle. Being in their backyard has its advantages, but but everyone was like, yeah, they should do it this way. They should do that. Like people that were mad that they didn't get a code. She should post more. She's not doing enough. And I stepped in at one point. I was like, hey, it's like really, they didn't have to give out any. She gave out a dump.
Oh, my God. I remember that post.
Yeah.
I remember that post.
This thing was like 3 pages long. This post was humongous.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys can't sit in here and complain that they're giving you stuff when really they have no obligation at all to do anything for you.
Right.
I was like, the fact that they, you know, ascend from on high to drop codes or rain codes down from the heaven is amazing. Like, these guys do a lot of awesome things. Just, I can't believe that people are really upset about this. And for the first like month, that was the general nature of my posts. And then, so she emails me again and she's like, hey, you know, I see that you're back on the forums more. I still wanted to run this idea of being a community leader by you. So like, I have a few people that just really do a good job of encompassing, you know, positive attitudes and have respectable posts, and they're never really, you know, into arguing or anything like that. Just generally respectable people. She's like, I think you'd be a great fit for the group. So I was like, yeah, fine. You know, I'm on the forums a lot. At the time, I wasn't even working, so I was on the forums even more than you could imagine. And it kind of took off from there. And then we found out, I think midway through the summer, that once the new forums came out, that we were going to be advancing into a moderator role, just because we had been around and our duty was before just to kind of keep things clean and civil, just without the moderation powers, but people still looked up to us. So it's just the natural progression of things. So it started as a community leader, then the community leaders became moderators to kind of take some ease of work off of her. So that way she doesn't have to work 10 minutes. She can now work 5 and be totally fine.
Yep.
But that's it. It was literally by chance. I be nice, see what happens. Some people think that post count and sucking up got me there. Yeah. No, it's just got to be a generally nice person. That's it.
I remember there was an entire thread dedicated to how do you become a community leader. And people were just posting all over the place about all the special things that you had to do. And,
oh, God, I hate them.
I mean, in my opinion, you don't need to have that CL button by your name to be a leader of your community.
Not at all. Look at Link.
Yeah, just, I mean, he's all over the place. He does such a great job. I mean, just step up and do it because it's the right thing to do and you want to do it, not because you think it's going to earn you brownie points with Angel or get you to be a community leader. Because once you start doing it that way, you've got a lot more coming to you.
Yeah.
Good thing. Oh,
that thread ended up being 624 pages, by the way.
I stopped after like page 3. That was too much.
It was ridiculous. But people had a great conversation in there. That was the best part. Like, they were really talking. Oh, my favorite was somebody arguing with me. They said, oh, well, I spent this much time. I was in the thread from page 1. And I was like, okay. They were like, I typed this many posts in there and yada, yada, yada. And somebody that's just refreshing their page got a code. That's not fair. And I said, why is it not fair? Because I actually contributed to the conversation. And I was like, okay, we're going to break this down and get real simple. I was like, what you did, yes, you read some posts. I was like, this other person, they read posts. They didn't care what you said necessarily, but they read every post trying to see if a code was posted. And then I go, the next thing you did is you hit some letters on your keypad to form some words. I was like, ultimately, all you were doing was clicking. This person that was just refreshing was doing the exact same thing with less keys, but maybe more times than you clicked. I was like, really, you guys did the same thing? You can't get mad. Oh, well, I was typing a post when the codes came out. I was like, dude, there were 150 codes. I was like, you can't be upset right now. Oh, this is ridiculous. I was like, all right, okay, whatever. Wait 2 days. You'll get it. And it's just, it's amazing to see what people get upset about.
They just need a hug. They just need a hug. Like, really, that's what so many of these people need. It's just a hug. And just go, you know what? It's okay. You may not have gotten the code, but I still see you as a human being, and I appreciate your existence.
Yeah. Okay. That's what happens to me now. I have
at you hug PAX. People?
No.
Oh.
At PAX 2010, I ran into John Goff, and he handed me a handful of codes to hand out. I was actually part of another site, 360junkies.com, but he handed me a stack of avatar codes to give out. And they were giving out codes every time you went through the, I think it was the firefight line or maybe the multiplayer line. All I played was Halo. Like, sure, I checked everything else out, but I probably gathered about 35 to 40 codes over the weekend. I was going to go give them out. Then I ended up moving. So they ended up in a box just in storage. I forgot about them until March, like right when I became a community leader. I was like, oh, this will be a cool little thing to do. I was like, I'm sure people would love to have the Noble Six helmet. So I started a thread, which is just an avatar code giveaway, and it started with random trivia, and I was like, hey, first person to guess my shoe size You know, when's a first on there was like an 8. And I was like, wait, really? I was like, oh no. But then I realized that they could edit their post without it saying edited. So I was like, oh, these people are gonna cheat. And then the trivia kind of evolved into little things, you know, with the characters and stuff missing. Oh, but the grievers came through there. Oh, I think you should just email the codes out to certain people. I was like, oh, you want me to play favorites? They're like, yeah, that would be more fair than me having to guess random trivia. I was like, wait, no, what?
What?
I was like, oh, that's not how this works. I was like, because I don't know who
you are. What if you're not one of the favorites? Then how is that fair?
Well, obviously, they're entitled to whatever they want, so they would be a favorite.
Yeah, and so the same thing happened this year with the Cortana codes. I asked Angel, I was like, hey, you know, I want to resurrect that thread. I think I could have some codes. So she runs off, gets me a stack. She's like, here you go. I actually left. The only time I left Halo Fest was I checked out Orcs Must Die real quick, and then I went back to the hotel room an hour before PAX ended just so I could hand out some codes to the people in the on the forums. And sure enough, the same thing happened. Oh, so you've got codes. You're giving them to everybody? It's like, no, you got to guess. Well, I don't really like the way this is set up. I'm like, well, you don't have to play. I was like, yeah, that's fine by me. Oh, well, can you just PM me one? Oh, God, the amount of times I hear, can I have a code? Can I have a code? Can I have a code? I was like, hey, if you PM me one more time, I'm like, you'll never get a code.
Was it you who sent out that tweet that was, it was basically a code, like the four-digit things, but it actually was hilarious. Like, this I will not give you a, or something like that. Was that?
Oh, yes. Yes. No. Yes. These are not the codes you're searching for.
Yes. That was awesome.
I jumped all over it. I was like, what are you guys doing? I was like, this is like 7 sets of characters long. Like, it's way too long.
I wonder if anybody started typing that in or like copying and pasting it at Xbox.com and like, wait a minute.
They weren't. No, like, people were seriously like, I typed that in. I was so excited to see a code that I just hit copy and paste. And I was like, oh no, like, this actually worked. I had too much fun with it. Too much fun.
You gotta love the community. They keep it interesting.
They are great. And interesting is definitely taking it lightly. And I love seeing all the different opinions. Like, it's the greatest thing in the world. Until someone gets real mad at you.
It's kind of a keyword of the night right now.
What's that?
Could be. Interesting is the keyword of the night.
Oh. Well, as I've learned in my psychology degree, when you're dealing with large groups of people, interesting is about the only word that always applies.
And can apply to everyone.
Yes.
It's quote unquote interesting.
Yeah. Or special. Special is a really good
special.
One too.
Special. So let's kind of go ahead and switch to communities as a whole. We all kind of have our own different little nooks and crannies that we all fit into inside this big, vast Halo universe. But it's...
Can we claim Pluto?
If you want. I mean, I'm not going to... I honestly don't care.
I think Pluto would be cool. You know, because it's not really a planet anymore. There'd be all the controversy. That's exactly
Pluto needs some love.
Pluto does need some love.
That's it. in the Halo universe, Griffball Hub claims Pluto.
All right.
I don't want to claim Earth. Sorry, Cal is sitting here going, why wouldn't you want Earth? Screw Earth, man.
The UNSC already has Earth. You don't want to mess with those guys too much. Yeah. Pluto's a nice little outlier. They don't pay attention to that over there.
Pluto's also a puppy.
I'll have to change that to one of our slogans. We've officially claimed Pluto.
I mean, all that ice would make an awesome Griffball court. That's all I'm saying. Griffball on ice.
Sounds like a Disney thing.
That's so great.
And the main beat is a hammer smash.
Which it would echo forever, and then we could actually fit in all of our seasons in a year, because a year would be like 3,000 days.
It'd be forever, though. You could have a season a day for Pluto, probably.
Well, not a day, because Pluto rotates pretty fast, so its days are short. I will look it up, but go ahead.
I know that much. I don't know about its days.
No, it's a small planet, so it rotates pretty fast.
So what do you guys find is kind of important, at least from
the standpoint of the producers of the games that actually helps build these communities and keep these communities together. Like, what characteristics do you think Halo has that helps keep the relationships that we all share within the different communities? Because it's interesting to see how there's so many Halo communities out there, and how each one has actually formed around a specific piece of Halo. So what do you think is kind of the core of those pieces that kind of binds it together? And this is kind of an open-ended question.
Well, it takes 247 Earth years for Pluto to go around the sun. And other than that, I'm going to actually think about your question now, but I had to get that out there.
Okay, that's fine.
It's really just Halo at the core. Like, everybody has the same values, the same things that they love. Sure, there may be different sects. You know, there's the Griffball Hub over here, and then the regular people that like the pew-pew Halo or the shooty Halo.
Wait. We have Griffball over here and the regular people?
Yes, those are regular folk. I said it.
Okay, I just want to make sure that you clearly defined the war that we're going to go into now.
I will defend that and say the majority of people that play Halo play it for the shooty aspect of Halo.
You know what, though? Oh, Griffball is the greatest thing when I'm trying to wind down. I have so much fun with it, I will admit. But shooty Halo is where it's at for me. But I mean, really, at the core, it all comes down to Halo. So I don't think there's too much that, you know, communities have to do to be able to form. Everybody comes because there's a certain love that they have. And then once you do, like, I've learned about probably a good 20 different communities just by listening. You know, I'll see tweets from Goose or, you know, from anybody like that. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're talking about this thing. Click the link. Next thing you know, I'm at HBO. Like, wow, these guys like this thing. And eventually you find one that you love. So really, it's just the emergence of communities overall. And, you know, with them loving Halo, it makes it easy to find other communities. Because everyone interacts. Everyone talks. And there's events like PAX and things like that where everybody gets to meet. And, you know, you get to, you know, meet people from Griffball Hub, Halo Challenges, right. Podtacular, everything. It makes it really simple.
Right. Well, that's kind of what I was leaving it as an open question. It's, I mean, the answer should be obvious to everyone, but I kind of wanted to see where you go with it. And
oh, I think Pup wanted to. Pup, you had something on that, right?
Well, I mean, I just think the thing about Halo is just the fact that, I mean, here you have this game that obviously is a shooter, but, you know, I think one of the biggest parts about it, of course, is the Forge thing. And because of that, like, people are able to take it and play it any way they want. And, you know, I mean, you've got people who just like the Forge. And, you know, like people from Forge Hub, they'll just load up Halo and just Forge all day. And they won't even, like, go play games, you know, like, go play, you know, shooting or whether it be Griffball or whatever. They just go, they go Forge. And they become a community, you know. And then you've got the people who just like the hammer, like us, and they'll just go play Griffball. And we're a community. But we all, you know, at the same time, we all love Halo. We just love Halo differently. And I think, you know, that's just a pretty amazing thing about the game in itself is that, you know, you've got all these people that love it. You know, we just all love it differently. But I mean, yet at the same time, we can all come together and we all get along, which is cool for the most part. Except for those MLG kids, they're weird.
Yeah, they're
out there. But I think that's the thing that for me makes Halo different from all the other games is that I feel like the variety is there. You know, even before Forge, there were so many different weapons. You know, a lot of games, there's only one or two weapons that you actually want to pick up. But in Halo, you know, every weapon has a counter weapon and you can, you know, pick the variety and you can pick maps and you can always do custom games and kind of create the feel that you want. And the universe itself, I mean, you know, there's the fiction and the comics and the, you know, the videos and the, you know, there's just so much content out there and the community really has just picked up pieces of it and expanded upon it. And I think that's really why the community is such a huge part is, there was a lot for us to work with from the start.
That's one of the things I wanted to point out was kind of exactly what you just said, was that we have all these communities out here in the Halo universe that have formed around specific things. So like Griffball Hub is formed around Griffball. Then we have MLG, that's the professional side of things. We have a Forge Hub specifically for forging. We have
Halo Challenges.
Halo Challenges. We have the guys who do the racetrack maps. And
High-speed Halo, who do the speed runs.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's just all these little niches within Halo that you don't see in a lot of these other games. That's really interesting to see these different communities form. And then on top of that, there's a lot of interaction between communities, which is another thing that I don't know if you necessarily see from other games. But the ability for other communities to kind of get along with each other and intermingle with each other without like adversely affecting or totally merging with one another is kind of an interesting characteristic of how Halo communities have formed. Because, I mean, if you look at Call of Duty, that is pretty much multiplayer. You're shooting the other team. Same thing for Gears. Halo has somehow managed to come up with this diverse way of coming up with so many endless possibilities to form communities around. I think that's kind of one of the reasons why Halo is so big and so successful.
I think Forge mode and Theater mode do worlds for Halo. Because, yep. Yeah, you can make videos in Call of Duty if you have a capture card. But, you know, with Halo, if theater mode, anybody can make a movie. Anybody can get render minutes, and anybody can create machinima. They give you so many developer tools that no other game does.
Right.
I think it was David Ellis who was actually mentioning just the other day on Twitter. He's like,
yeah, that was it. I was thinking of the same thing. Yeah.
How is it possible that here we are in 2011 and all these, you know, threes are coming out, Assassin's Creed 3 and Gears of War 3 and, you know, the 1 millionth Call of Duty or whatever. And Halo is still the only one that seems to have a theater mode. Like, how is that even possible?
Well, Black Ops does.
Oh, does it? See, I don't know anything about.
But the point still rests that there's so many other games out there that can use the potential of recording, like Need for Speed, like racing games use theater mode. All shooters should have a theater mode of some kind.
And Forge, like. That's probably, I mean, like Pup said, one of the biggest things about it is people can just go and create what they want to create. Like in.
Well, I mean, there's some games where it doesn't make sense to have a Forge, like racing games. That.
Well, why not? Why can't you make your own Forge?
Racing game would be great for that.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
To create your own track.
Yeah.
Define creating your track. Are you taking a cityscape and plotting a course? Or are you talking about actually making the track from scratch with all the scenery and stuff? Because. For a lot of PC games, a lot of the developers release like mod kits and dev kits, so you can do that kind of stuff. Like a prime example of that would be Team Fortress 2.
Well, I mean, I don't think it would have to be anything too necessarily complex with it. Like, you know, it'd be kind of like Forge in a way, but they'd give you Forge pieces that are like you'd have your like straightaway pieces for the track or your hairpin turns pieces and your different corners and maybe some basic buildings and stuff to throw around. But yeah, it wouldn't have to be anything too, it wouldn't rival what the built-in tracks look like and stuff in the game. But it would be pretty neat to be like when they just kind of put your own little track together and have your friends race with you on it.
Yeah, I think that'd be really cool. And then be able to upload and share it.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome.
It's still weird that that technology is not here.
I mean, it's not new. It came out with Halo 3, so.
Well, interesting thing is, I was watching I guess it's one of the movies that it was either one of the things that came off of the Halo 2 Limited Edition, or something else. But it had like a play demo of an early Halo 2 build. And one of the options that wasn't implemented yet was theater. So they had the idea and the concept to do it in Halo 2. They just didn't have the time to implement it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea has been around for, let's see, Halo 2 was what, 2004?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to just see that no one else has really decided to expand upon the technology. And Bungie's just gobbling it up right now with Halo.
Was. Let's be honest now. But yeah,
well, I mean, I'm sure they'll have a theater in their next big game too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty certain though that if like Gears of War had some kind of an advanced theater mode like Reach has and a Forge mode, like can you imagine being able to build like your own horde?
That would be interesting.
Level. That'd be interesting. I mean, I only played Gears 1 and I just never got the multiplayer was so bad I got really turned off of it. So I don't like Gears 2.
I can't figure out who to shoot, to be honest.
But it was so much fun battling such big, ugly, nasty creatures. Like, I would love to be able to build an environment that's just so alien. Because let's face it, even though there is Forge mode, obviously, in Reach, it's really limited. Like, Forge World, yeah, there's a bunch of pieces, but they all look the same. You know,
so gray and green.
It's
I know, so, I'm so hoping that we can just take pieces and give them whatever color we want.
I mean, one of the things I've kind of voiced, and I think other people have kind of voiced this too, is come out with what they similarly did with Custom Edition for PC. Have a modding suite so that you can actually develop maps, and then maybe just submit them to what now would be 343 and have an approval process where you can actually form your own maps. Because, I mean, if you've seen some of the Custom Edition maps, there are some really well-made maps by map teams and just individuals out there.
And I would just love to have a Griffball court that isn't solid gray. Like, it's so hard to get any kind of different aesthetic on there.
Well, and there's lots of extra little things I think they can add too, like lighting effects, because it's funny, you could be completely boxed in, there's still light. It'd be interesting to be able to control how the lighting
works.
And then one thing I want to see at some point is weather.
Oh, that would be so great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
If I could have a rainbow on my Griffball court, I would be so happy. Oh my god. Like, have it arc from one gold to the other. So your pot of gold at the end is an explosion. That'd be sweet. Make it happen, Waypoint. You can do it.
An explosion of gold coins just everywhere.
Or fire or bodies or whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, I think my biggest thing is...
After the bomb detonates, you have 5 seconds to go around and collect the coins.
If you have no coins by the end of the timer, you die. Just like Sonic.
Aww.
I just think the biggest thing for me with Forge is, like you were saying, you know, everything's so gray. Like you'll see some of these really nice remakes that people will do. Like, I just recently played on the, I think it was the MLG Pit remake, and they did a really nice job with it, except that, you know, especially Pit was one of those maps that, you know, it definitely had its distinctive colors and stuff. And so when I'm playing on a version that's all gray, it just, you know, I just don't feel like I know where I am on it. So it would just be so great, you know, with four, if we could just take a piece and make it a whole solid color, you know, like if we wanted to have a whole section of the map that was all yellow or all green or whatever.
I mean, that's where you could use those team color things.
Yeah, but yeah,
they're very limited, though.
Yeah. Another thing is the fact that if you have too many pieces in Forge, like an example would be the Terminal remake. I don't know if you guys have played that or not, but it's done really well, and the train's a kill ball that actually goes along the rail. but there's so many custom pieces that, depending on where you are on the map, the frame rate drops drastically because of it trying to calculate all the polygons. And since everything's phased together, it's rendering two things at once and it's fighting over which one should be in front.
Yeah.
So if there's just ways to kind of like fix that, or say, give me a generic wall, and then after that wall's there, paste this overlay across this entire section. Yeah, but that's kind of advanced modding that you would probably do on a PC, which is why there should be some kind of PC Forge tool, I think, to accompany Forge, and then have the simple stuff be just on the console, where how Forge is now would be understandable. And then if you want to do advanced stuff, you go to the PC and you push it out, approve it, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, my main thing is I don't want to have to get it for a PC as well as console. I think that would be my big thing.
I would think if you buy the game with the retail thing, there should be
like something that comes with it,
or like a token, something like that.
Yeah, something that comes with it.
I mean,
of course, with the custom edition, you have to have your own 3D modeling software, but they give you the
my own 3D modeling software. Oh my god. Like Play-Doh?
You can get it for I know as a student you can get some stuff for free. You can get 3DS Studio Max.
Okay, yeah, you were like, unless you're talking about Play-Doh, you are so like far over my head when it comes to anything like that.
No, I'm talking like Maya, 3D Studio Max, Blender.
That's the thing about Forge is that even a geometrically inept person like myself, I can still forge something. I don't need to have all that extra software that I don't know how to use.
Right, but that's why I'm just saying that you have the Forge as it is currently for the consoles and you keep it there. But then for those people that want to go into more detail that maybe have a little bit more of that technical skill and the mental capacity to have a concept of a map space and...
That's
not a degrading comment.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. I definitely don't have that capacity.
No, it takes a certain mindset to come up with an idea in your head of a visual 3D space and then put it into something like 3DS Max.
Again, okay.
But
it's all right.
I mean, going back to my original argument, have the simple Forge as it is now for the console, and then have some kind of token or extra disk that has the necessary programs to compile this stuff into a map that you can actually import in. Because with Custom Edition, what they did was they released a set of tools that actually takes these object models and compiles them together in a way that Halo understands them. So
well, I'm glad Halo understands because I have no clue what they're talking about.
The utilities to process and make those would be there, but you would still have to like design everything on your own. So I'm saying if they had something like that, that would, I think, would be the ideal forging package.
Can I just draw a picture and then like scan it in and let it do its thing? That would be pretty nice.
You can kind of do that with 3DS Max.
Hmm.
Although you have to put a little bit more effort into that because just drawing a picture is 2D. So you can make a frame and then go off the frame, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This is... We took a really big divergence into Forge.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure how we got to this point. But to get back on track... we do have some submissions. We didn't have any voicemails, so we don't have any of those today. But we do have a couple people that sent some stuff in, mainly tales and random frags. So we're going to go ahead and read through some of those. Who would like the first one?
I want the third one.
You want the third one? Okay.
So if the third one is the first one, I'll do that. But if I have to wait to be the third one, I'll wait.
What is the third one?
The psychology one?
Yeah. That's what she wants to say. Well, I'll go ahead and do this.
Oh, yeah.
And then whoever wants the second one can call it when it gets to that point. So this first one comes from Ice Snow Cone. He writes in, hey, my... I haven't had a snow cone in a while, actually. Come to think of it.
Delicious.
Hey, my second submission, but just had to send in about the time I... Whoa. Grammar check.
Yeah.
Is
this your first time reading this?
We're doing it live.
I skim over these. I don't like... edit for grammar and everything. I do spell check, but I don't do grammar check. My second submission, but I had to... he's sending in about the time you play Firefight Matchmaking. I'll abbreviate if I need to.
We're going
to
paraphrase.
Go with that. Yeah, there you go. I don't remember the set around, but it was on Beachhead. I was the last man standing. I was holding out the spawn until two hunters charged, bringing elites and grunts as wraiths. Laid siege to the base. I quickly abandoned my post, dodging hunters and elites' fire, returning fire with only an assault rifle and the magnum. With no lives left and limited ammo, my heart raced as I struggled to stay alive. Elites pursued, being incredibly determined. I found myself fighting for a virtual Spartan life against 10 or so elites, grunts, a wraith, hunters, and a persistent ghost. A little tip. Never stop moving.
That's what she said?
You know, I'm glad it's not just me. I've been watching The Office again religiously, and every chance I get is a that's what she said joke.
I don't do it often, but, you know, sometimes...
But when I do.
Sometimes it just needs to be said.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Well, to make... No, that's okay. Well, to make an even longer story...
Longer,
I think.
Sorry.
To make a longer story short, I was slowly eating at their forces, and anything and everything I could get my hands on, from the noob comboing to heavy but limited ordnances like rockets and plasma launchers. Incomplete sentence? It was very intense as my dead teammates cheered me on. In the end, I made out killing everything but a few elites, earning the hardest hero medal I have ever gotten. I have the video as proof. There is my tale. I'm assuming the video is in his file share because he didn't link it here.
Man, I think the dead teammates cheering me on would kind of freak me out.
Why is that?
Zombie teammates, man. I probably have to shoot them first.
They're already dead, though.
Well, if they're dead and cheering you, they're obviously not, like, really dead. They're only kind of undead.
They're virtually dead. You're playing a virtual game.
Do you think they sparkle in the sunlight?
Hmm.
Wait, zombies don't do that. Only vampires do that. Sorry, never mind. Move on. Right.
Anyways, that was from Ice Snow Cone. So, thank you for your submission, and do a little bit of grammar checking next time. Who wants the next one from Calvin?
I'll go ahead and take this one.
Right.
Hello, Podtacular. This is Cal with Guns here. I've been a listener of the show from December 2010, and I live in New Zealand. I recently got an Xbox for my birthday and have been saving up for Reach by selling all of my PS2 games. Oh, and when I first played Halo 3 live on Big Team Social, I went positive 6 before being betrayed. Keep fragging trucks with brief chieftains inside, and when you're walking away, armor locking a ghost so it flies into the explosion. From Cal with Guns.
No, it's armor-er locking.
Hey. Look, I was helping him out, all right?
I forgot to double check that one.
English is not his first language. He is from New Zealand.
That is true.
Sorry. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so for the third one, it is from Aaron Clausit? Clausit? From the University...
Clausit?
Clausit.
Something.
Klaus?
Er ist ein Deutschmänner.
From the University of Colorado at Boulder. Hi, I am a professor of computer science at the University of Colorado at Boulder, and am running a scientific study of Halo Reach players on team dynamics. I'm trying to get the word out to the Halo community and would really appreciate your help in spreading the word. The idea is to sort out, for instance, whether younger players are better lone wolves than older players, what impact playing on a real team makes on your overall in-game performance, etc. Here's how the study works. Players come to our web survey and answer some questions about themselves, demographics, and about the way they play Halo Reach and which gamer tags they play with. The whole process takes about 10 minutes. After that, if they care, we'll show them how their Halo Reach service record stacks up against the universe of 1 million other Reach players. This is similar, but more general than the Halo charts comparison. Participants can also sign up to our mailing list and receive a copy of the study results when it's completed. Here's the website and links to it. And for more about the project, you can contact Professor Arison Clausit, Department of Computer Science, University of Boulder, Colorado. Now for the fine print, this is a legit scientific study. We do ask participants to create an account on the study website, but they're free to create and use a throwaway email address as well. Participants need a valid Xbox Live gamertag, and they do need to have played some Halo Reach with it, preferably with their primary Halo Reach gamertag, because part of the web survey involves information derived from their game history.
And the links will be in the show notes.
Yes. I've actually done this, and it's really cool. I really, really enjoy doing it. And the stats that you get afterwards are a lot of fun. As a psychology person, I guess he's computer science, so it's not really the same. But we have very similar goals. So do it for science. Like, seriously, it doesn't take much time. It's actually really interesting to kind of get you thinking about it. And yeah, I will totally advocate for this. Go, Professor Aaron Clausit, call me. We can hook up and talk scientific studies. It's Goose Checka with two O's. Goose Checka. Yeah. Checka. Gotcha.
Like, I'm scared. I'm scared that survey is going to tell me that I'm a lone wolf and an asshole, because I had that epiphany today.
Well, like, see, that's the thing, though, is it doesn't tell you anything. Like, they're collecting the data, and they're going to analyze the data, and they're going to compare. They're going to use your information to make generalizations about the gamer group as a whole and in general. it's not like one of those cheesy eHarmony things where you put in, you answer 10 questions and it goes, oh, you're one of the soft spiritual ones who likes long walks on the beaches, but you have a ferocious side when someone takes your socks.
That was just me.
But no, it's definitely do it if you can. It's for science and it's totally worth it.
It looks like it's covering a lot of the bases for in terms of kind of seeing who you play with, evaluating your play style. It was interesting to see kind of what questions they were asking. And some of them I wasn't really expecting, but once I saw them, they made sense how they kind of apply to doing this kind of survey. Mm-hmm. So definitely everyone go check it out. The links will be in the show notes. That's on the Podtacular homepage. So, okay, who wants to take the next one?
I guess that's me. And I'm going to have a hell of a time reading the last couple sentences because they're pretty ridiculous. But we'll get to that.
Wait, Schwartz choke?
Just try your best. Just try your best. That's all we can ask for right now.
This is going to be great.
You read it, didn't you?
Yep.
All I see is purple belly squirrels.
Yes.
And something right. About P. Diddy. And anus. Yes.
And anus. Yeah, anus armor.
Oh, that's a Podtacular joke. I might have to inform you on that one once we get there.
Okay. All right, well, this one is from Zant117. He says, hey, Podtacular people, Zant117 signing off for a few tales playing Halo PC. I was playing on the level The Silent Cartographer on Legendary, around the part where you face the jackals on top of a rock formation, and I rolled in with my warthog, a.k.a. Puma, and I splattered most of the jackals on the ground, and then I proceeded to use my marines in the warthog to distract the jackals' fire while I sneaked around. There's no commas here or anything. While I sneaked around back.
Like I said, I don't do grunts. Spell check.
And pwned them with my plasma rifle. Then I decided not to attack the grunts and elites on the opposite side of the jackals, but instead I threw two stickies across the from where I was at, and actually stuck and killed both elites and sniped the grunts with my pistol. Period. And I have a few tips for the level if you haven't said already. Use any weapons available to you, and towards the end of the level and you're coming up to the map room, go to the side where you got the invisibility power up and throw a couple of stickies to the ceiling of the door. And you can distract the jackals, have them facing that door and go to the other exit, but if you go slow enough, there is a crack between the door and the floor big enough for you to shoot the jackals' feet and actually kill them. I can't tell you how many times this has helped me.
No, you can't take a breath. There was no period. That entire thing, you need to go back and do it again with no breath.
That was difficult. I might need to get
I don't think that's physically possible.
I'm going to need an inhaler. All right. And the last part says, keep on fragging one-footed purple-bellied squirrels. Wear Nene's P. Diddy exclusive anus armor while Dust Storm screams like Cohagen and JVB does the Schwartz choke and Fubo jive fragging the midgets he supposedly doesn't hate. Wow. And that was from Zant117.
I'm not sure. There's a lot of references in here.
Okay, so it's not someone with some kind of mental problem. This actually makes sense.
No, this.
No, it's one of those interesting people that we talked about earlier.
Okay.
I guess this could fall under that classification, yes. But no, there's a long running list of Podtacular jokes, and one of my many projects right now is to kind of create a quote unquote encyclopedia of such jokes. Nene is supposedly some kind of mythical creature that lurks around Halo 3, and no one has ever seen it, and all they've seen is pink flashes.
Okay.
And I'm not sure where that one I'm not exactly sure when that one started, but someone in the forums started that, and I
want to know about the anus armor.
That's exactly
okay.
Yeah. Can we get to that?
What about this anus?
So
enough about the invisible pink bird. Let's get to the anus here.
So we had a submission. It was for Halo 3. I don't remember what show number it was, but it was a tale where two people were doing co-op on the Ark, and you know the first place where you come up to those hunters.
Yeah.
Well, they were going around and they, to kill them, they were beating the backs of them to try to get it. And a piece of armor fell off that was covering its butt, so they called it anus armor. And they messed with that for a little while. So that's where the whole anus armor came
from. I was expecting more, but...
That's pretty tame. I appreciate that.
Yes. So, yeah.
It's community culture is how we define that.
Exactly. I'm not sure where me screaming like Kohagan, I don't even know who Kohagan is.
About the Schwartz choke.
I'm not sure where that comes from, actually.
And the Fumojai Fraggin' the Midgets?
Okay. there was something a while back where Fumojai was the person that started Potacular, and he was the previous show host. And there was a comment somewhere. I don't remember how exactly it got started. But something came along the lines where Fumo hated midgets. And it's just been a running joke. He doesn't actually hate midgets, but it's just been a running joke where it had to do with either the submitter being a midget and he said so in his post, or it was talking about the grunts and how they were kind of smaller and how he hated grunts or something.
Huh.
I don't exactly remember. I'd have to listen through all of our episodes to just find where that is.
So you'll get back to it.
I know it's definitely during the time I've been recording, so I'd have to go back and check the last 120 episodes, which I don't think I'm easily going to go do. Mm-hmm. That's where I have the community go do that. Have them be my minions. So if any of you guys knows where that is, what show number, and a time reference, tell me. And I'll put it in the encyclopedia, because that's
nice.
That's the goal of that project, to eventually be fruitful. So let's move on. Next one comes from StuckU221. He writes, in episode 257, there was a discussion about two things that I wanted to clear up some speculation on. I went into my Halo encyclopedia and read more about the Didact and found that the Librarian had a deep respect for the human race, and that she chose Earth to have the portal to the Ark. She destroyed all the rest. So there... that's interesting. Must have been other portals. From the encyclopedia, I found that she spent her last minutes of her of life in her garden, quote-unquote Eden. Also, let's go...
Let's go Iowa? Is that a tag?
I think that's somebody's name.
Oh, let's go. Probably.
I thought he was rooting for a team. Okay,
probably.
Yeah.
Also, let's go. Iowa said that Forerunners were human and you didn't agree. Wait, we didn't have anyone call Let's Go Iowa.
Well, apparently you didn't agree with what he said, so you probably just forgot he existed.
Sure. Okay. Sure. Anyways, I'd have to go back and listen to see what exactly. Oh.
I like how it says in Halo 1 CE.
I still don't know who Let's Go Iowa is, but I do remember this discussion now. To continue, in Halo 1 CE, I'm guessing that's...
Halo CE.
Maybe he's talking about custom edition? I'm guessing it's just going to be regular CE. 343 Guilty Spark says that you, Master Chief, had Forerunner armor, and in Halo 3, Guilty Spark said to Master Chief, you are Forerunner, before you killed him. He also noted on things like, your ancestors built this place, and things like that. However, I will say that the structure may be Forerunner, but I think that also may be Covenant or Elite ship. Huh? I don't think there'd be any Covenant or Elite stuff on a Forerunner planet, but anyways... In all honesty, I think that the Halo 4 Master Chief finds Halsey, and the new enemy will be installation of the other Halos 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7. StickU221 signing out. P.S. Here is something smart to think about. From Halo 2 to 3, where does Master Chief take a dump? I was thinking one day, how would Master Chief take a dump? I mean, really, did the alterations remove their need to eat and take a dump?
No, he had anus armor as well. Just like
Yes.
They are suits, and they do take them off. So, read the books.
I mean, how do astronauts take a dump? I mean, just think of it that way. I really don't know. I've never thought about it. So.
I'm just gonna speculate that Bungie and now 343 probably figured that was part of a game we didn't want to see, and so they left that out. Although maybe some people would want to see
it. So, there's a potty joke right there.
Thank you, Stucky221, for this enlightening experience.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we talked about in our last episode with Grim Brother 1. So definitely check that out for a little bit more on kind of speculations with what we're going to see in Halo 4. We had a lot of good discussions about that then, so go check that out if you have any doubts in your mind. Fisher, who wants to take that one?
I do.
Oh,
I do.
Oh, go ahead. Okay.
Hey, what's up, guys? Notice how he does not mention girls. So this is only addressed to you. I wanted to know...
You can put this in your thesis about Halo being sexist.
I know, right?
I think this is one of those cases where it's a generic term, just like as when you talk about mankind, there's talking about men and women.
No, I call it womankind.
The benefit of the doubt.
I don't know about you, but hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to know what your thoughts are for the title update bringing back the 3-shot Magnum. I, for one, am pissed. All caps. It has taken a lot of the variety out of the game. Power weapons are pointless now. 343 has said that putting the pistol back in Halo CEA would cause problems. After hearing about this update, I played a few matches and hated it. I popped the Halo 3 disc back in. What is your input? P.S. What is your favorite bands?
Wait, what?
What?
P.S. What is your favorite bands? Pink Floyd for the win, apparently.
I'm more concerned with him playing a few matches of the with the CEA pistol, unless he was at Halo Fest.
He might have been, but I think the important thing to remind people, I hated the pistol too. When I tried it at Halo Fest, I really, really hated it because I had the exact same thought. It takes all the variety out of the game. Why would you ever want any other kind of gun when this one does everything? But the important thing to remember is it's going to be in a very limited playlist, in a limited game type. It's not going to replace every Magnum.
That's what seems like one of the things that people do not understand about this title update
It's because they read the first 3 words, you know, Halo pistol is back. Well, that's 4. And then they don't read the rest of the sentence. They don't continue to find out. They read what they want to read and then they freak.
But I mean, this has happened on our forums a couple times where people think that it's a permanent change, but it's not. So people calm down. They're not completely replacing the pistol or the DMR bloom. It's just an option that you can make in for some of the stuff, or some of the stuff is going to be in the fixed playlist that you can't do anything else with.
Yeah, and one thing too is, I mean, it's not a sweeping change because it comes out
4 days.
It has to be done via the game types anyway. So I mean, it's not like it's a, you know, they've done this update and now all the DMR is just completely changed in the game. They have to do it via the game types. So.
Right. Right.
I know Dustin hates the 3-shot pistol because his ass was handed to him repeatedly with it.
Shut up. Shut up. I will have my revenge.
I will say, after trying out the that game type that they put up on the Halo Waypoint tag, I went into a couple of custom games and we played around. The needle rifle with no bloom is freaking ridiculous. It's a power weapon with no bloom. It's crazy. I went in with one of our people from the hub for Sankin Mango, and I mean, he's good as it is, but he picked up the needle rifle, and I had my DMR with no bloom, and I couldn't even get 2 shots off before I was dead. Like, wow, that thing is just wrong. you know, because it was already a pretty good weapon even when it had Bloom, and without Bloom, it's just crazy. So I don't know. I don't know. They might have to put a little bit back on that, or just very limited on the maps and don't make it a.
Well,
starter.
I mean, the stuff that we're getting in 4 days is beta, so they're still refining stuff. So what we'll see in the beta play, this won't be a finalized product, but it'll be interesting to see the stuff that we get out of it.
I mean, it'll be fun, though. I mean, if they had, I'm sure, of course, they're going to, you know, be a little, you know, more responsible with the way they put the weapons on the map, too. I mean, you know, if you had like a game type where everybody just had the needle rifle and no Bloom, that would be pretty amazing.
Right.
Just to see who can, you know, destroy each other first, you know, in like a matter of a split second, because it just seems like that's how quickly you die when it has no Bloom.
That's zero Bloom on Ridgeline. That's exactly what happens. Oh, my God. You cannot run anywhere near the – anywhere open. Nope. Pew, pew, pew. You're dead.
Yeah.
So, wait. Did they – I'm going to piss off a lot of people here, but I haven't had a chance to – download the title update or play any of the games, the game types. Did they release anything that has the 3-shot pistol?
No, but I mean, the pistol has no Bloom in what they did put up on their file share. And even that's pretty beasty, but you know, it's not the CE version.
Gotcha.
But I mean, that's still pretty, the fact that you can spam that trigger that quickly with the pistol though, that's still pretty significant, because you could down someone with a pistol faster than a DMR, can't you?
Yeah.
Five shots
with a no Bloom? Man, imagine doing that in 3 shots. You're down like that.
But that was the thing that they said. They're not really going to put, like when they go for the CE game types, there's going to be no DMR around. I mean, there's going to be a CE feel, like CE levels with CE weapon placements. There'll be no DMR or need a rifle, so yeah.
Honestly, the parts of the title update I care about is the armor lock nerfing, and that's about it.
You know, I'm looking forward to that, but one part I'm going to miss, though, is like there was always those occasional times where you would stick someone and he'd go into armor lock to pop it off, but what would happen is when the stick would go flying, he'd stick a teammate with it, and that was always awesome. Yeah. But, you know, that's probably the only thing I'll miss about it.
I really could give a damn. Whatever. It's gone. Cool. I didn't have any issue. But, you know, there's a lot of passionate, interesting people out there. That's where we'll leave it.
Right. Do we still want to answer the favorite band's question?
Oh, that's right. My favorite band. A rubber band?
In Canada, those are called elastics. I learned that at PAX.
I did, too. I got cornered by...
Me?
I got cornered by you and someone else, and they're like, what do you call that thing in your hair? And like, my ponytail holder? Like, yeah, what do you call it? A ponytail holder. Well, other than that, a hair tie? No. Other than, I'm like, what do you want me to call? And yeah, apparently I was supposed to call it an elastic. I think I actually finally ended up saying that.
You did say elastic, and I was very upset.
You're like, finally? Like it took like 4 or 5 prompts.
A hair tie, a rubber band, a stretchy thing.
A scrunchie?
Yeah.
No, don't do
scrunchies. No, a stretchy thing.
A stretchy thing. Oh, okay. Favorite band. I don't really have one. Is that an okay answer?
Mine would be Dream Theater.
I don't know if I have one at the moment. It used to be Newsboys.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with the Beatles. You know, you can't really go wrong there, so I'll pick them.
Took the safe route. So I have to pick a band. You know what? The one band.
Or can we extend this to like single artists as well?
Sure.
It's your podcast. You can do that.
In that case, my favorite artist would be Stephen Chris Chapman. It's a Christian artist.
This is gonna sound funny, but my favorite artist is big of an. As he is Kanye West. I like him as a producer. I love the music that he makes and the samples that he takes. For what he says and what he does while he's in the public spotlight, sure, I don't condone it. But something about the beats he puts together makes my head nod.
Alrighty. Who would want the last one, the really, really short one?
Well, I've got one more in my email whenever we're done.
Oh, okay. Pup, why don't you take this one?
It's from Stucky221 again. He says, what did you take?
No, wait, wait. It's five tuck. You.
Oh, five tuck. Oh, I'm sorry. Five tuck. Tuck. Yes.
It's probably tuck. Still stuck, but.
Hey, it's he says,
what is your take on Minecraft versus Halo Forge? I have not used Minecraft, actually.
I haven't either. All I know
they're different games.
There's people running around in little weird costumes. That look like
I don't think they're really comparable, to be honest.
I mean, I've seen, like, you know, I've watched video and stuff of Minecraft, and it kind of reminds me of Legos. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't play Minecraft. I think you're asking the wrong audience, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think you're asking the completely wrong audience.
I mean, I guess, if I can hazard a guess, Minecraft was built with the entire purpose of creating your own world.
Right.
So your ability to create is much more. I mean, you just don't create one scene. You can create an entire environment, and you can affect the environments around you. I mean, Halo, the point of Halo isn't Forge. I mean, when I go out and pick up my Halo disc, I'm not getting, because like, oh boy, I'm going to go Forge. And while there are some people that might do that, I would say the vast majority of players actually play for the game aspect, you know, either the campaign or the multiplayer at for some point. So that would be my guess on the difference between the two.
Agreed.
Yeah, I have no clue what Minecraft is. I know, but I don't know enough to speak on it.
Fair enough. All right, Kizzle, you said you had one.
All right, so this last one has a bit of backstory to it, and it ties into the lines of basically how our community interacts with one another. One of our Waypoint community leaders, or moderators, if you will, Sir Pwnage, his real name's Brandon Doss, he's from a little town called Joplin, Missouri. And most of you will know that.
I know where that is.
Yeah, Joplin got hit with the biggest tornado ever on record. You know, it was kind of an interesting time. I'm not one to get shaken up over anything, but the email that he originally sent us describing the account of him and his Jeep pinned against a Pizza Hut with the tornado going over him and like lifting the car, protecting the building, all sorts of things, like literally shook me inside. So it was kind of a crazy thing, but there's this little thing called the Joplin Project. And here, I'll just read his email. He said, I subscribe to Podtacular, but I don't go to the site much and I'm short on time, so I don't know where to submit something. So I'll bring it to your attention. Anyone who knows me knows about the tornado, and anyone who doesn't know should watch the news some more. Not everyone knows that when Grim Brother 1 found out, when he found out about it, he really wanted to help, and that's what the Joplin Project was. I guess Grim had a friend who is in the music business who was playing a show. What it ended up turning into was a fundraiser for the people in Joplin. So he goes on to say it was his friend that did it, and it ended up raising $1,000. Him and his friend were pretty moved by the fact that myself and my family weren't too concerned with ourselves. We survived. Our friend survived. You know, we got most of our stuff out, so the icing was on the cake. He's like, I've got lots of friends around that didn't get a lot of their things and didn't have anywhere to go like we did. Because that's why I was so excited when I first met Grim and PAX. Yeah, this year was a time that, you know, I finally did get to put a lot of faces to each other. It was my first time meeting him, first time meeting Grim, first time meeting you guys. What ended up happening, two big things happened that still, it's kind of crazy thinking about. First one is Brandon found out he had a sister that lived in Seattle that he had no idea about. Through whatever good graces or goodwill, he was able to score tickets to PAX through the Waypoint giveaway. Now, I don't know if that was somebody knowing his story and making sure he got up here to meet his sister, because that was his main goal. He's like, if my sister can't come, I'm not coming to PAX.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up getting up here. He roomed with me and like Piercing Tiger, some of the workplacers from Bungie. And he slept on the floor with no blanket. He was just excited as hell to be here. But first day, as I'm waiting outside in line at like 7 a.m., freezing my ass off, he was inside getting his badge. A woman walks up to me, or, you know, a 20-year-old woman's like, hey, are you Rakari? First thing I'm thinking, I'm like, how do you know my name? Oh, no, maybe I shouldn't have spent the night outside. And she's like, oh, I'm looking for my brother. Maybe you could help me find him. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, come with me. I grab her hand. I run across the street because I was like, man, you know, this guy gets to meet his sister for the first time. So jet him into this, you know, jet her inside the convention center. He gets to meet her there. You know, it's a great sight to behold. Then Brandon ended up getting her pass. I think it was from NCSU Duncan. You know, he just kind of shouted out on Twitter. He was like, hey, never met my sister before. I want her to be able to come and enjoy this with me. Anybody got an extra pass? So through those good graces, he was able to, you know, get her inside the event. And then he convinced Allison and Angel to give her a pass to the VIP event so she can come hang out in there. So that happens. And he meets Grimm for the first time. So not only has he, you know, won tickets to come to PAX, he's found a place to stay, things like that, met his sister for the first time. Grimm walks up, and Brandon has no idea, has never met him before. Grimm just hands him an envelope, you know, introduces himself and hands him the sink. And he opens it up, and it's a check for $1,000 just so he could do with it what he will, you know, give it to whoever needs to get it. And it choked him up, like he had no idea how to respond. But he goes on to say in his email, it happened because of Halo. The friends wanting to help don't really, or the friends that I'm wanting to help don't really play games much. And I only know Grimm through Halo. I didn't know a thing about him before, but I'd seen his tag a few times. I don't think we had ever talked at all until he joined the community leadership team. He's like, immediately after I emailed you guys to say I was okay, he responded and wanted to know what was going on and how he could help. If I needed clothes, toys for my little girl, anything. So he ends just saying, not sure exactly what kind of stories you guys are looking for, but the fact that something like this can come from a video game has always been the greatest thing for me and will always be my most powerful argument against someone saying it's just a game.
Wow.
But that's it. I just wanted to make sure I read that for him.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah, he was actually supposed to be on my my team, Griffball team for the GGL, and we were just about getting ready to do the season, and then that tornado hit in his town. And I was like, well, shit. You know, everything changed for him there, you know. And I remember him posting on Twitter about it, and he posted a picture and said, you know, this is where my neighborhood was. And I was just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy to see.
Wow.
But I know he had the greatest weekend of his life. It had to have been. Besides his kids being born. Sure.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
Yeah. Hey, whatever. I'd be so excited to meet a long-lost sibling.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. And I mean, again, like, the gamer community is so giving. Like, I mean, exactly. Like, you're going around your town trying to get help for people that you actually can meet face-to-face, and you're actually getting more help from people that you know just because you play a game with them, you know, once in a while. I know Extra Life is coming up, I think, in 2 weeks. And, you know, they raise money for pediatric cancer research. And the hub, we always participate. We always do the gaming marathon. And this year, we got a poster, the Heroes Never Die poster. And we have about 80 Waypoint signatures on it. And we're going to be auctioning that off for charity. And, you know, it's really hard to look outside other communities. Now, I mean, I'm not into the Call of Duty community. I'm not really a member of anything other than Halo communities. But I don't really hear of any other communities doing as much for charity work as what this community does. And by this community, I mean Halo. In general, not just Griffball Hub.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, that's kind of one of the cool things about Halo as well.
I mean, it's really powerful. You know, that story is really powerful. It shows that you don't have to see somebody to have some kind of attachment or connection to them. You don't have to know somebody in real life before developing a relationship with them. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I'm so glad that he got to come out and see his sister and, you know, raise money for a really good cause. And not only that he was able to do that, but that the gaming community responded like that. That's wonderful.
Yeah, he had no idea what was going on. I mean, sure, he posted. He's like, oh, my God, won a PAX ticket. He's like, does anybody have a place to stay? I was like, well, you know, at these things, like, hey, come sleep on the floor. That's where I'm sleeping. It's like, it'll be cheap. The next thing you know, he's got an extra pass for his sister. It really all came from Twitter. Yeah, no one knew him. I mean, a few people did, obviously, but, like, it is an incredible thing to have happen just to say, hey, anybody out there willing to help some random stranger in the name of Halo? Yeah.
Well, there was also another couple online that were trying to get plane tickets, right? Like, they had the hotel reservations, they had the passes, but they didn't have enough money for the plane tickets or something. It was posted on HBO. I forget who it was. But, I mean, that's a similar situation. They people donated enough money to where they could actually get the money to go. But, yeah, so there were those people. I'm not exactly sure who they were. But it was announced in a couple of places. But, yeah, the communities are, in fact, awesome. And it's nice to just see that gamers are that considerate of other people, because, I mean, games get bad rep as it is from media anyways. Whenever someone dies because of a gaming addiction, because parents don't know how to frickin' take care of their kids.
Did you see that one article? It was girl dies while playing Xbox. And what actually happened was the girl had severe asthma. She was playing a video game. She had an asthma attack while she was playing. She suffered cardiac arrest on the way to the hospital and died in the ambulance. But the headline was, girl dies while playing Xbox.
Like, I don't think it's the Xbox fault, to be honest.
Really? Yeah. Like, it wasn't even Kinect. You can't even blame it on Dance Central.
She could have had an asthma attack anywhere. It just happened to occur while she was on her Xbox.
I mean, I don't know what it is about video games that gets such a bad rap.
Well, at first it was television, and then it was rap music, and then it was R-rated movies, and video games is just the next thing on the list. It's something that old people don't understand and therefore are afraid of.
Yep.
Ta-da! And not to mention that, I mean, not everybody's lucky enough to have good parents. I remember going, when I worked at GameStop, you know, I would see a parent and child come in. The child's maybe 8, and their parent is buying them Call of Duty. Or their parent is buying them, I don't know, some really violent, horrible, you know, some really violent game. And I'm sitting here going, you do know this is rated M for mature. And it's rated M for mature because the content in this game is developmentally inappropriate for people under a certain age. And that's where the problems happen. That's where stuff goes wrong.
Well, most of it's the parenting.
Well, yeah. Well, it's the thing is the parents buy the games, and then the games can be the parent and parent. Their, you know, so they can go out and do whatever they want. The kids, it distracts their kids enough so they're not, you know, causing the parents trouble. You know, kids have got their video game. It doesn't matter what the game is. You know, as long as the kids shut up. You know, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just kind of at that point. It's sad to see that. I mean, especially with all the stuff that gamers can do that just gets overlooked. I mean, look at Child's Play, look at all these other charities that we have that have been set up by gamers.
I think, if I remember right, for my doctoral dissertation, I'm actually doing a research project on like video gamers, psychology and stuff like that, and personality and all that kind of stuff. As part of my research, I was looking up the percentage of games that are violent or are rated for V for violence, it's less than 20% of the gaming market. So you've got less than a quarter of the gaming market that everybody is focusing on. And it's not even the adults who play it. They're focusing on a very small population. They're focusing on children under the age of 17 playing games. So if you put it into perspective, I mean, I don't know, I don't have the numbers of how many people under the age of 17 play games, but I do know that there are more females over the age of 21 that play than males under the age of 18. So that should give you some kind of perspective. I mean, under 18 crowd is not the largest. The average age of the average gamer is 36.
Well, yeah, so, because, right. You know, right. They've all been playing video games since like Atari.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you're looking at a small section of the gaming population, and you're looking at a small section of the types of games that there are. And all of the research is coming out of this one very small concentrated spot. And it's ridiculous because there is so much good out there. What was it? Early this week, a group of gamers on Foldit solved an HIV-related viral protein.
Oh, yeah.
It had stumped researchers for 10 years, and they solved it in 10 days.
I thought it was 3 weeks.
No, it was the article said 10 days, So I don't know.
Other article also said girl dies while playing Xbox.
Well, no, this was from a scientific journal. It was actually read up in actually just added it to my dissertation as a source. But yeah, it was actually from the Biochemistry Journal of Biochemistry or something like that. So like an actual published peer-reviewed journal. So, I mean, I think that's awesome. And but that doesn't get the press. You don't see that on the front page of Fox News or of CNN. But I can guarantee you, girl dies while playing Xbox, that was up there.
Yep, so, yeah, that's games, a highlight right there.
Yeah, games get a really bad rap. And they really
Fox News alert.
Yeah. So, and I think a large part of it is, you know, the gamer community ourselves, we have to put out a better image. I think a lot of times... There has to be a reason that the stereotypical image of a gamer is an 18-year-old kid playing in his parents' basement. There needs to be a reason for that. Why is that what comes into people's heads when they think of gamers? So I
don't know. I mean, if you look at most of the people that went to Halo Fest, I'm pretty sure that's not the case.
No, I mean there's mostly a lot of older people. I mean, not by older I mean in their 20s. Because you have the money to go.
And they have their own basements.
And yeah, we have our own basements.
We made a comment about that on the...
it was on the community panel, wasn't it?
No, we had a group of us together, and it was me, Serponage, Elusive Eagle, Calamari, and Green Skull, all in the same car. And the discussion going on in the back of the car was, oh, do you know who... you know, who illustrated this book or this book cover? I think it was for like Halo, not Evolution. So it was the other one, Cryptum.
Oh,
like, okay. Oh, who illustrated this? And then Elusive Eagle chimes in. It was this person. Da 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 da. They also did this, this, and this. Ah, but no, you're wrong, because this person did this and this and this and this. Green Skull just stops. Like, how the fuck do you guys know this? And Brandon's like, I want to know how you guys know this. And he goes, look at Elusive Eagle. He's all, you know, fit and handsome. He's like, Rakizzle's up front, just all athletic and shit. He's like, I look like the nerdy video game guy. You know, we had that moment where we're like, yeah, anybody can know anything that they want to know.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you have to look a certain way, act a certain way. But, oh, it was a great, great few minutes there.
Right. Yeah, it's always fun when people figure out I'm a girl. It doesn't happen as much as it used to, but I remember when I first started playing Griffball, everybody thought I was Cal's little brother. And for those who don't know, Cal is my husband.
Yeah.
So it was very awkward trying to explain.
You sound like a little boy, though.
Apparently I do on Xbox Live. I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah, everybody thought I was Cal's little brother, which was really funny. But yeah, I mean, it's tough no matter... You know, because if you look like a nerd, then you're going to get branded like that, which means you get a stereotype. If you don't look like a nerd and people find out you are one, then they kind of brand you with this different stereotype. And God forbid you be female and play video games. Obviously, you're either fat and ugly or you're a slut. Like, those are the only two alternatives you get if you're a girl gamer. So.
Dude, people freak out when they find out I love video games. I was that college athlete. Like, no one thinks I was going to play Xbox. They'll come over to my house like, oh, I see Madden. I see NBA 2K. What's all this Halo shit doing here? You got like 10 copies and 3 Xboxes. I'm like, oh, you guys didn't know. I love Halo. And they're like, what? Or like the people that'll come by, you know, because I love to be first in line. And they're like, what are you doing here? Oh, it's something for Halo. And they'll look at me like, oh, I wouldn't have expected that. Yeah, they're like, that's what you're here for? I'm like, are you sure? Like, yeah, Halo.
It was really funny. I had a class this past summer where I had to do like a cultural presentation. And I decided to do it on gamer culture. And literally, you know, so I talked about, you know, my life before games and whatever, you know, what it was like coming up. And then I'm like, and then I found gaming culture. And I talked about how many hours a week I play and how many hours a week I dedicate to Griff Ball Hub. And then, like, afterwards, you know, people ask questions. This one girl raised her hand. She went, I never knew you were one of them. I didn't think that was possible. Like, literally, it felt like if I could ever feel like what it feels like coming out of the closet, that's exactly what that moment was like. Because when you're in a professional setting, like I've had my advisors tell me, do not put anything gaming related on my resume. Like when I'm going for internship and stuff, you know, even if it's charity work, even if it's like community service charity work that we do with the hub, I'm not supposed to put it on there because it's video games. And like the stereotype in the professional community is that if you play video games, you're immature, you're a child, and you can't handle what's going on.
See, that's stupid.
I mean, to be honest, in my field, I mean, I guess I can understand it a little bit more, but yeah, which is psychology. So they want you to be professional and handle yourself in a professional way. But yeah, I've been told not to put that stuff on my resume.
Gaming can be professional. Look at these studios; they're professional, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I just love.
How can the studios be professional and yet the people that enjoy the games not be?
Well, I don't think the people who run the studios, right? Ha ha ha! I pooped on your face on Twitter. I mean, I'm just saying.
I love that every day on Twitter.
I thought
listen, bitches.
Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go. There we go.
There you go, Grim. I dropped it for you.
I was trying to refrain, but it's been killing me inside all along.
It's been too long.
It's a new I guess close niche fad.
Inside joke, I think.
Inside joke. There we go. I couldn't think of the word.
We were just trying to figure out how Angel could just rephrase her post or introduce herself. Something ranting in the forums, be like, "Listen, bitches, this is how it's gonna be." Even though we can never say it, listen, bitches.
Yep.
Oh gosh.
And I don't know what it was. It just kind of stuck with me. You know, you pick up your friends' catchphrases. I have Sir Ponage saying I'm not about it because apparently I say that a lot. I'll tell people I'm not about it. He sends me a text message or no, it was a tweet. He's like, I just want you to know that I caught myself using the phrase not about it. I blame you. It's like, yep, that's what you get for hanging out, bitch.
Well, I know the term rage quit is really big in the griffball community and the greater community as well. And I happened to use it offhandedly when I was with a bunch of my friends. I was like, oh, man, so-and-so got so mad he just rage quit life. And they all look at me kind of like cross their eyes like, what? Rage quit? What is that? And so I explain what rage quit is, and I come back the next weekend, and we're all hanging out, and this one guy was like, oh, yeah, he hated it so much he rage quit life. And I'm like, oh, that sounds familiar. And then everybody around the room was like, oh, rage quit, where'd you hear that? And he's like, oh, it's something I thought up. I was like, oh, hell no. Hell no. What? I sat there, and I just kind of seethed, and I'm like, no, that's not your word. That's our word. I'm taking it back. All right.
I raged quit earlier today and it was amazing. Like what I realized today when I was talking about like my play style and stuff, you know, those people that are kind of just, I want to say elitist, that are saying, oh, you're a noob, you suck at this game, go return your copy of Halo. I realized I'm kind of that person when it comes to basketball because I know a few more things and I find myself yelling at my friends. But there was literally a point like, hey, you got to do this. God damn it, do this. And I just sat down. Like, I got so mad, sat down, untied my shoes. And I was sitting there like, I just rage quit a basketball game. I'm like, this is not a good thing. This is not good at all.
See, but you were able to recognize it and accept it that it happened. So you're true. Well on your way to recovery from rage quittery.
They're like, hey, are you going to play next game? No. No. Why not? I'm pouting.
Rage quit every day.
You're pouting.
That should be one of those like advertisements that you see on TV. It's like every day hundreds of people die.
And die
safari or something. Safari? You know those sympathetic, I'm not saying that this happens. I'm just saying as an example.
Your choices are so interesting. Thousands of people die every day on safari because of rage quit.
It could happen.
Thousands.
But it'd be interesting to see. Like some kind of ad go out, some sympathetic ad for rage quitters.
I think we had one actually on the hub. Sometimes we'll have PSAs after our podcast, our hubcast, and I think we may have had one. The last one that we did was actually
the host thing.
Yeah, I think it was like the post-host withdrawal symptoms, and basically in Griffball, when you have host, you have different range than everybody else. And after, you know, because eventually you stop pulling and then you literally have the reins that everybody else has had. And every single time that happens to someone who's a known host puller, they complain nonstop about how crappy all the connections are. And so we've kind of dubbed it, you know, post-host syndrome because, well, welcome to what everybody else experiences when we play. You know, you're not going to get any sympathy here. But I think we did one for that. For rage quitting. I'm not sure. But if not, that sounds like a really cool thing to do. Rage quittery.
You should get on that.
Yeah.
It sounds right up the Griffball alley.
Yeah, we love doing stuff like that. We had one for betrayal insurance in Griffball.
Oh, gosh.
It was called Griftacular Insurance. We're on your team when you kill yours. And there were different packages. Yeah, it was
that's
pretty
funny.
Sweet.
That's funny.
But yeah, so don't rage quit. Don't be like Rukizzle here. Just
hey, Hey, everybody gets one.
Get some anger management classes going.
You know what? It's only basketball. Like, I'll get upset in Halo. Sure, you know, it happens. I'll get upset. I'll mute my mic or something like that. Basketball just brings out a whole nother beast, and I don't know what it is.
See, it's specifically gaming for me. Like, I can – the only time I get frustrated at anything is whenever I play video games.
Yep.
Like sports is – it's just kind of one of those things like, okay, here we go. And gaming is like, what the hell, dude? What is your freaking problem?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe because I assume in my head that I'm supposed to be better than most in basketball, or I don't know what it is, but I just get so frustrated. Like, okay, I'll tell you the one that made me mad today, and I feel bad for saying it. This dude's like 6'8", right? Mm. And he's standing 25 feet away from the basket, and he's letting someone block his shot that's 5'10". Now, I don't care. My buddy that was blocking his shot is just a terrific athlete. Like, he used to play college football, you know, things like that. Had a chance to go pro, has a 30-something inch vertical. I was like, sure, I can kind of understand it, but there was a point where I was just like, hey, if you don't get your big ass into that hoop and just dunk the ball, like, there's no way he should block you. He's a midget. He's 5'10". I was like, stop. I was like, I got to stop yelling at this dude. I was like, I don't know why I'm yelling. I just am. And that's what it just happened all day today. Just so much rage. But then all I thought of was Halo, and I was like, I'm one of them. I was like, that's what I am.
Yeah.
Everybody looks at me and is like, this asshole.
But at least you didn't tell someone to go kill themselves.
True.
Like, that always really just bothers me. I'm like, really?
Like, why would I kill myself over a video game?
Well, not even that, but why would you think that's an okay thing to ever say to anyone? When, what a hor- like, what, my thought is, when I'm playing Griffball, would I say it in front of my grandmother? You know, and if I did say it in front of my grandmother, how much of a beating would I take? You know, when I cuss and stuff, yeah, I'd get wrapped on the knuckles. But, you know, I would never tell someone, go kill yourself, go die in a fire, you know, go return your game, you're so bad. Like, right. That's just horrible.
You just have the general notion that when you do play, you don't want to say something to someone that you wouldn't say to their face.
Yeah, just as a general rule of thumb. That to your family or something, like, you know, if your brother drops something, like, damn, you're bad, go kill yourself. I mean, you know.
It's just so absurd.
I mean, it's different when you're among friends, though, and it's like you get the jokes that you're passing back and forth to each other. But when you're doing it with totally random strangers,
never understood is when you put someone else down, you're also invalidating how good you are. Because if you're saying, wow, you're so terrible, you're saying, I beat you, but you're really bad. Which means I'm not actually good. I'm just one less step crappy than you are. That's what you're saying to yourself. Whereas opposed to saying, hey, you know, good job. You guys put up a good fight. But we were the better team. It's never we were the better team. It's always you sucked.
And well, my favorite is always like when you get done in the game in a Halo and you beat the other team. And then, you know, in the post-game lobby, they're like, oh, you're all garbage. Well, like, I'm like, well, if I'm garbage, what does that make you? I just won.
That makes you sewage? Like, I don't know. I'm not very good with insults. Cal will tell you, like, my most ferocious insult with someone was I was playing Griffball, and I could hear the other team. And the other team was like, oh, look, they've got a designated runner. They must think they're good. And so my response was, oh, look, you can hear things. That's my smack talk. So I'm not very good at it.
We used to have some friends that when we played in Halo 3.
Penguin?
Yeah. Instead of like actually insulting people, we'd say nice things like your mother graduated college or something. You know, we'd just say something really nice to them.
Your like, father pays his taxes promptly and on time.
Yes, that's always a good one.
That was awesome. But
going off of your whole Griffball thing, though, and we'll wrap this show up in a minute, guys, but I just sent you a game thing, and I've heard on your podcast sometimes when you talk about playing clean Griffball.
Mm-hmm.
This fuel reel guy spawn camped so freaking much, and it pissed us all off. Look at our KD spreads versus his.
I've run into him.
If you run into this fuel reel guy, please give him hell.
Let's see.
Oh, look, he's an inheritor.
Oh, look, he's plus 53. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of person that we would ban from the forums. But that's kind of the unfortunate thing about Step. Go ahead, Pub.
I was going to say, this is just kind of tame, though, compared to some of the people we've seen.
Yeah, which is really sad. But yeah. Don't worry. I mean, it's people like that. I love getting into matches with stat patterns when I have a team of four.
Oh, because that's fun.
When you can actually fight, it's no competition, like, at all. The only reason they ever succeed is because, you know, you're down a person or you've got people who don't know what they're doing. And, you know, there's nothing more satisfying than beating stat patters.
Yeah.
Well, we were a full team of four, and they had host to the point where, despite us trying to get out and kill them, we just couldn't land hits.
And can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
After this happened, did you feel like you didn't want to play Griffball anymore?
This was actually the rest of the party wanted to go play something else, but it really pissed me off to the point where it's like. Because we had two other games before this where it wasn't this bad, but there were people that were stat padding, and this game was just like the end of the straw. And it's like, I really wish I had someone from Griffball Hub right now to help me cone these.
And that's why we ask, is because there are some people in our community who think that stat padding doesn't drive people away. And so I always like to ask when I meet people who aren't hardcore Griffballers, you know, what is it that... You know, did you want to stop playing? Whether or not you did you get that feeling like you wanted to stop or go do something else?
Yeah.
And
definitely there.
It just proves the point. Like, stat padding is not harmless. You do actually cause harm to the sport itself as well to other people. So thank you. You just proved my point. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I'm kind of weird in the fact that I enjoy running into the stat padders, especially if I go in by myself. I'm three random people I don't know, and we'll run into like a team who's just stat padding, and I just go into like this try hard mode.
Beast mode.
And I've had some just like ridiculous games against, like, you know, like the whole other team will just be sitting in the spawn, like, just, you know, trying to kill the shit out of everybody. And like everybody on my team will be like minus 30, and I'll be the one guy on my team who's like plus 50 fighting off these stat patterns. And it's like, it's like a personal victory for me that, you know, I've managed to, you know, survive the whole thing.
Well, I mean, for me, for this case, we had two games previous to this, and after each one, we kept thinking to ourselves, okay, there's not really a chance that we'll run into more assholes like this. Second game came along, it's like, okay, this was the third game, and we got freaking dominated. It's like, okay, that's enough. We stopped playing Griffball for the time, and we came back later that afternoon to play, and we actually had people that were playing.
Yeah.
There's one group that goes around. I don't even want to give them, you know, say their names, because I don't want to give them any recognition. But
right.
they're horrible. I mean, like this bunch, like you'll go through their game history, and like every game of theirs, they're all every person on the team is like plus 100 or more. And we ran into them one day when we had a party of four, and we stomped them hard. And all I could think of myself was after the game, I was like, oh my God, I feel sorry for the next group, because you know they're going to stat pad twice as hard to, you know, to get all those, turn all those minus KDs back into plus KDs that, you know, that we just handed them. I was like, I wish we hadn't have, you know, beaten them that bad, because no, they're probably going to take it out on the next bunch. But,
well, and there's another thing. It's like, I'm not good enough at Griffball to the point where I can easily combat spawn campers, because, I mean, most of them just know exactly where to sit. And by the time you spawn, you don't have enough time to turn around and swing.
Yeah, you're already dead. Yeah, I've had games where
I
don't even spawn. Like, I'll spawn.
Yeah.
Like, I won't spawn. I'll just stay in that respawn screen the entire time, because they just keep killing me before I'm even there.
Yeah, it's like the only way to defeat that is to be one of the middle two spawns.
Yeah.
And like, somehow get out.
Knockyard and I, we were talking one day about, like, you know, what could we do to, you know, help people when they're stuck in a situation like that where someone's sitting in their spawn. Like, could we make like emergency spawns? And I was like, you know, it would be pretty funny is, like, if you got, like, you know, four people sitting on the spawn, so they're killing the crap out of everybody. What if we put like weak spawn zones that are in the air above the spawn? So like, while these guys are sitting there spawn killing, you drop down on top of them. Like, hello. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, that'd be something to experiment with, probably. Yeah. Right?
They would be like, you know, it can be kind of like emergency spawns. If the other ones are clogged, then you just kind of drop on them. So, yeah, it's something to consider.
Yeah. Anyways,
that wraps up our show. I want to thank all of our guests for being on again for dealing. Let's see, this is what we've been on for about 2.5 hours recording.
Well, so, thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to be on.
Part of this might get cut out and be a bonus that you need to go to the website for. I haven't quite decided that yet. But
do it.
Yeah.
Bonus prizes.
Yay. So we don't have anyone set up specifically for next week yet, but I do know that we will have Cruel Legacy and possibly Anage on one of the shows in the month of, or by the time you hear this, it'll be this month. So the month of October. We're still trying to find two other guests to get on. But we are working to get people. So thanks again, Goose and Pup from Griffball Hub.
Woohoo!
You are welcome.
And then Rue Kizzle from the Waypoint Forums.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. And I'm still a little upset that we didn't really get to talk much at all. And yeah, that I was completely oblivious.
You're too busy being dead.
Aww.
Yeah, I'm going to sneak those jabs in. It's just in my nature.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to keep on going on Twitter after the show, so.
Hey, you know what? No, here. Oh, before we go, I have to say this, and this should actually be the introduction. But in a game of Assault with all the community leaders, Grim Brother 1 somehow managed to go 0-14. I don't know how he didn't register a single kill, but I will not rest on this subject. I almost got up at one of the panels. I was going to do it at the West Waypoint panels and be like, oh, so with your community leaders, do you think there's going to be any sort of, you know, Halo skill correlation? Because your community leaders went 0-14. He expected me to do it. I decided against it. But oh, now that I think back, I should have. So just so you know, Grim went 0-14 in a game.
Like I always like to say, those who cannot griffball administrate. And that's my excuse. So...